What's poppin'? It's a whole new week with the Drew and Mike Show from the DealsInTheD.com studios. And I was making notes before the show, and I was thinking, boy, there's just so much crap going on, but really nothing that's newsworthy. I mean, really important in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
Usually, nothing. You know, back in the WRF days, you'd have those, you know, breaking news, exciting things, and it's like, that's going to carry the show. It's going to be kind of excited to get going. And then you have those days where there's, you know, you're kind of struggling for, well, let's see if we can get an interview or do something. And now it seems like there's always a lot of bull crap to talk about.
Thank you, Internet.
Oh.
Thank you, Twitter.
Well.
Thank you, Facebook.
It's not just.
Thank you, Internet.
It's not just the Internet.
Helps.
Yeah, but a lot of it has to do with woke culture and, you know, all this.
That is really spawned out of Twitter.
Yeah.
It really is.
True, but it requires people to drive it.
Sure.
So anyway, that sounds like that's the right note to start the show on.
I did just get a great email with a Twitter-type story. Tony sent an email. He said, I called out Kurt Warner on Twitter. Do you want to know why he called out Kurt Warner on Twitter?
Why?
For giving a birthday shout out to his son, and Kurt Warner replied.
Wait.
Yes.
Kurt Warner gave a birthday shout out to his son, and the guy's complaining.
He wrote, I think he's just joking like we do with Maz when Maz wishes people happy birthday on social media, which I think is weird to wish people happy birthday on social media.
Well, yeah.
If you care enough to wish somebody happy birthday, you can text them or call them.
Isn't it really sort of like a miniature version of BYF?
Yes, very much so. Now, I understand if you don't have, like, when people wished you happy birthday last week, I understood why people would tweet that and face that makes sense.
Well, it's nice.
It's very nice.
I saw a lot of them.
Yeah. So Kurt wrote, we've shared some great moments over the years at Elijah13Warner. Can't believe you are 16. Sorry I have to miss this moment, but I know the best is yet to come. I love you. Have an incredible birthday. And so.
Ha! That's my dad.
Tony wrote, you didn't have his number to call or text him.
So he's just being a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, Kurt's reply is great, though. He's a kid. They love it when you hit him up on Twitter, which, by the way, he just wrote you, not YOU. So all their friends can enjoy. Don't ask me. It's a different generation. P.S. I did call and text him as well.
That's pretty funny.
Kurt is such a nice guy.
He really is.
Love Kurt Warner.
He's totally cool.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
He did. Kurt Warner won that conversation.
The Hall Financial Hotline, by the way, was going to be activated today for Bruce Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
The fabulous Chet Chit Chat, and Bruce Wolf, too. Bruce Wolf was, I really enjoyed him on the air. I loved him. He worked with Johnny B, worked with Steve Dahl, Stephen Gary, Kevin Matthews, all those guys. And he was on his own, too. He was anchoring on TV.
But Chet Chit Chat is.
Chet Chit Chat is.
The pinnacle.
It's pretty incredible. Best, yeah. I thought it was just a great, great,
well
great,
written. Yeah.
Great character. And we're going to activate the Hall Financial Hotline to talk to Bruce about a couple things. But first, lower payments, better options, more personal attention from Hall Financial. That's what they do. Boy, the personal attention part seems to be so just. It's the marquee aspect of Hall Financial. If you want to contact them about saving money on a refi, which so many people have done, and many more will, why don't you go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000 or go on our website, click the link, and they'll get back in touch with you. Hopefully not sooner than the record. Or no, hopefully sooner than the record. 30 seconds.
That's the record?
30 seconds. Somebody else said they recently were contacted back in 8 minutes. So they really take it seriously, and they handle the... They do the heavy lifting, and they'll tell you if you can save money. Or if you want a loan for your home, your first home, dream home, take money out of your home, Hall Financial. They won't.
The Feds just cut the rate, too. So
I know.
It's that affects.
Well, it's incredible how long they've been able to say, hey, it's a great time, because it is a great time. So go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. Now, the ridiculous story with Bruce Wolf, who... likes to go on Twitter. Brandon and I follow him. Do you follow him, too?
Probably.
He's funny. He mixes it up. He's a Republican, and he's got a great sense of humor. I mean, just an outstanding sense of humor. And
well, I know what he is, too, so it's not going to, you know.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
You know where the tone is. Yeah, I do follow him.
Bruce said something to the effect that this is why what I enjoy about Trump, he gets people like Richard Marx so worked up. Because Richard Marx was just going insane on Twitter over Trump. And honestly, I just don't. I don't understand why these people.
Doesn't Richard Marx have better things to do, like stare at his wife, Daisy Fuentes?
You know, if that's what they want to do, fine. I mean, it's the internet is, and it's what Twitter is. But anyway, you know, Bruce just made a. He made a funny, and Richard Marx went ape shit. Can you read it, Brandon?
As is want.
Yeah, and we've been mixed up with Richard Marx before when he went loony over this blog where this guy said. He had done a song with a few other people, and he said in Richard Marx's case, I think he's shameless, and that the others, I don't know, I'm not sure what he just called him shameless. It was, yeah. You know, it was music criticism, whatever, and Richard Marx went ballistic, and we had the guy in the air. It was a really funny, well-written story. We got to send that to Bruce.
Wow, I don't even know the start of this because I'm just scrolling through Richard Marx's tweets and replies, and he goes after not just Bruce Wolf, he goes after every single person. It doesn't matter if it's Joe Blow with four followers or if it's Bruce Wolf who has 8,000 followers. But here's just an example. He's kind of defending his stances on hating on Trump, and someone just kind of comes after him. Just some random dude. This guy, his name is The Pit. He's got 1,800 followers. Just your average guy. And he's just, shut up, Richard Marx. Just, you're irrelevant. And he comes back, you stupid fuckstick. My daddy didn't give me millions. I earned my way on my own. You're not confusing me with another person. You're confusing me with your hero, Fuhrer, Trump.
Oh, boy.
And it's just, there's so many of these, too. He really goes after people, and he's very angry on Twitter.
It doesn't really fit his brand to be this thin-skinned and angry.
It's so weird. I mean, when you hear his music, these really soft love songs.
For some reason, this guy tells Richard Marx something about butt sniffing. Richard Marx comes back, you're the guy who knows exactly what Trump's sphincter smells like.
Ooh. Where is he? I want to talk to him.
Wow.
Okay, Bruce said...
Trying to find the beginning, sorry.
He's responding at Eric Zorn.
He was also a coward.
Eric Zorn, I don't even know who that is. The best thing about Trump is that he drives people like Richard Marx crazy. Well, Richard Marx hears about it.
Oh, no.
He was screaming, crying, and whimpering.
And says, and of course, this is next to this really cute picture of Richard, with playing his acoustic guitar and his little Twitter picture. My favorite thing about Trump adoring talentless hacks like at Bruce Wolf Chicago is that they're always too chicken shit to actually tag the people they gutlessly insult. Sniveling cowards!
Now, my first question was, how did Richard Marx find out about it if he didn't tag him? Constantly searching himself? Probably. Rabbit ears?
Probably.
Well, on the first.
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
On November 1st, he was just on a roll. He first responded to something that Ivanka Trump had tweeted out. Basically, defense of her father in the words of Thomas Jefferson. A lot of people jumped on that tweet. But Richard responds with just quotes from Trump. I moved on her like a bitch, grab him by the pussy, shithole countries, all that stuff. And then here comes random Jim. Jim B, just 90 followers.
Rendo Jim.
Your average Twitter account. And he just says, hey, you wrote crappy songs. Your opinion on the president is irrelevant. You'd think someone with a blue check mark, a famous guy like Richard Marx, 158,000, would just brush that off. But no. He's got to come back. You faceless chicken shit. You're so tough. You're commenting on me shows that my opinions is relevant to you, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, we all know how Twitter works, Richard Marx.
Oh, man.
Jesus. And that guy just won it over you.
Twitter battles are fun.
This is the amazing thing about Richard Marx and his over. I mean, it's like, he says I'm a million, 10 times as bad. And here's, I'll give you another example before I make my case. Bruce then. Says, at Eric Zorn, your father was the band leader at my in-law's wedding. And, of course, he wrote Here Come the Hawks, really one of the worst sports songs ever written. It doesn't stir you to love the team, but it doesn't fit well with a sit spin on the ice, which is why I love it. I don't know why Richard Marx has to respond to this, but he does.
He's already mad at him, so he's going to respond to any reference of him.
Richard Marx, I asked some of my respected friends in Chicago TV and radio, his respected friends, of course. about this asswipe at Bruce Wolf Chicago, who's been fired more times than all Celebrity Apprentice contestants combined, got back words like racist, damaged, and indecent. Nice legacy.
What?
Nice comeback! Is Bruce Wolf known as a racist?
Oh, he's a Republican, so yes, I guess, no, not for anything he's ever done, no.
But when he was on
to my knowledge,
wasn't he really focused on sports a lot?
Well, very much, and current events, too.
Okay.
But I think Bruce comes from the right. He's not,
wasn't
honestly,
there a Freddie Gray incident with him, though?
With Freddie Bruce? Gray?
Yeah. Remember the guy in but I think he was trying to make a joke, so that might have been taken away.
I don't
way.
Think Bruce Wolf is a racist. Indecent, I can't imagine where the word indecent comes from. I asked him, and he's like,
What's wrong with being indecent anyway?
Damaged? And yeah, he's been fired a lot. He jokes about it himself.
Yeah.
That's part of, I think, the greatness of Bruce Wolf is that he gets rehired constantly because people think he's outstanding. He is outstanding. He was great. I mean, I loved him a lot. I mean, that was the golden era of Chicago radio in Bruce's heyday from like 80 to 95 was among the best radio I've ever heard. I thought it was just fantastic. And Bruce was a big part of it. So Richard Marx, though, this whole thing about racist, damaged, indecent, nice legacy. Richard Marx is acting like Trump. The person he hates so much, he can't just let anything roll off his back. He has to over-respond everything. He has to exaggerate. I mean, isn't he being a little Trumpish?
I mean, I guess, because he's counterpunching.
That's right.
But
he's over counterpunching.
He's so soft about this.
And he calls people names and suggests that, you know, while you can't know anything about him, he knows everything about you and you're a racist, you're damaged, you're indecent, and, you know, you're a sniveling coward.
He's such a nice guy.
What does he know about Bruce Wolf? Give me a break.
Well, he asked some people.
His respected friends and
put
Chicago
him in
TV
quotes. Ring.
It is this is the allure of Twitter. You know, you can talk with the most famous people out there. They can respond to you.
I think Alec Baldwin acts like Trump, too, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would kill him to hear that, but I really believe he does. And a lot of these people...
He was very obnoxious.
I think the people on the left and the people on the right who just can't... They just can't let well enough alone. I don't know why they think they're so unique. Or I guess they're right. That's why.
It's all about
winning.
It's all about winning.
Yeah. But I don't see anybody winning.
Richard Marx thinks he won.
Well, he was the biggest asshole.
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
Here's another one with Richard Marx.
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
This is minutes before the Bruce Wolf's legacy. Boy, he's doing a lot of research. I don't know who this is, the long version replying to Richard Marx. Self-aggrandizement is where you excel. I wouldn't expect you to acknowledge or assign worth to anything or anyone outside of your ideological bubble. He's talking to Richard Marx. Where's the rest of the tweet?
Get out of here!
Well,
I think my favorite part in the whole battle is that Bruce kept writing about him and purposely not adding him, which is the thing that set him off in the first place. That was the genius behind it.
Wait,
I just feel like he's so affected by it.
I have to refine
this. It's political bullshit.
Man, politics just rip people apart.
I know, it's terrible.
Only if you
it
let
it. It is terrible.
I know, but certain people do. Certain people get so triggered and so angry
That's
that they have
fault.
To respond to everything. It's
the quantity of it. I mean, this is what makes me crazy. This counterpunching is that, you know, nothing can just go to the moon like it should. But, you know, I'll give you an example. This isn't politics, but on Friday, I read a story about some 22-year-old, I thought they called him a millennial, but that wouldn't be a millennial.
No.
He's just a 22-year-old who said that teaching about World War II is bad for kids, it triggers them, or something like
what?
That. I'm like, so some fucking 22-year-old
why
said something dumb.
Why are those kids Nazis? Because they lost? I mean, why? Why would it trigger anybody?
That was an Instagram influencer, too, who said that, Freddie Bentley.
Okay, it's really dumb. Do I have to read about it? I mean, I ran into it about 8 times. I'm like, I'm sick of skipping this story. I don't care about this stupid 22-year-old. Why is this fucking in my face all day?
Well, I just
this is dumb.
Well, maybe it's an example of how these people think at 22. That's pretty sad.
Oh, it's one guy, but it's one guy. It's and he's, yeah, no, he's an influencer. What did he do? What did he do to earn influence? Exactly?
He's got really cool hair.
Hey, he's missing out. That war. There's so much incredibly fascinating things about it.
It's some of the most important history there is. Mm-hmm. What, Brandon? How many followers does Doink have? Doink.
I don't know. I've never heard of him until I saw this story as well.
He's uniquely a doink. I've never called anyone a doink. I don't even know what that is.
101,000 followers.
And what is his
thing? They have these, you know, many, many millions of followers. I say there's no way because nobody has any interest in these people.
He is a brand ambassador for Stone Valley Clothing, and he's just your typical Instagram influencer where, you know, you take a lot of
social media, that's for sure.
Is he funny? I mean, is he wacky?
A lot of selfies.
Hot. He definitely thinks he's hot.
Oh, is he hot? Okay, wait, I got this. I'm going to be pissed.
He likes making wacky smiles.
I saw a picture of him, and he's not. I didn't think he was that hot.
He thinks he is.
But 101,000 people think he is.
Well, there he's dancing. Oh, that's like a TikTok type thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Look at the comment underneath that. He needs to visit the Anne Frank Museum in Amsterdam instead of spending time doing this. Because of the World War II thing. Good. Good comment.
But why is that person following him?
Why is this idiot triggered by World War II?
I don't know.
It's factual.
I just want him to go away. Stop influencing people. You're not an influencer. You're a brand ambassador. Fuck you. I don't care what you think about World War II anyway. Let me go back to Bruce Richard Marks. So, okay, this guy says, self-aggrandism is where you excel. I wouldn't expect you to acknowledge or assign with anything outside of your ideological bubble.
Who is that? That's
the long version. I don't know who it is.
Wait, is it Richard saying that? Or
No. It's a guy saying it too. He's replying to Richard Marks, who has some hideous tweet about Trump and how horrible he is. So
hi, Richard.
Richard Marks says, wrong, Trumpkin.
Trumpkin, oh, good Trumpkin. One.
I can and regularly do recognize someone's talents or accomplishments, whether or not our ideologies align. Unlike you, who throws out second win quips simply because you're an asshole, and Carl, because you're boringly simple-minded. By the way, you follow me! Whoa!
You said it, Dick.
Pretty outspoken on Twitter.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. In the long version, a guy with 1,500 followers. He's a retired broadcaster.
You know what I want to know? What?
Didn't vote for 45. Don't care for him. But I don't harbor irrational hate for him either. I can't watch TV news anymore. Well, I think I should follow the long version. I like him.
You can't watch TV. Well, it's pretty soft, too, though.
It's a little soft.
Don't you wonder, like, what is Richard Marks doing yesterday? This was all yesterday, right? Or Friday?
Yeah, it's in the last. Yeah, yeah.
Like, what is he doing with his day? Is he just sitting around waiting for responses so he could tweet back?
It seems like it, doesn't it? I mean, these tweets are fairly close together. He's just sitting on his phone on Twitter just going ballistic.
Can he go make some music? But, or what he calls music?
Oh, by the way, people have tried to say, you're irrelevant. You know, your music, your career's dead. And he's like, I have a top 15 single right now.
Really?
I don't know what that means.
No, let's fact check that.
Thank you.
I'm still bummed out about this guy.
I mean, how dumb is this?
Jeez, that one kid needs to watch Saving Private
Ryan.
Saving
Ryan's Privates?
Yeah.
Well, not only that, this kid's in Europe. He could probably go look at anything.
He needs to play.
Everything's affected by
it. Oh, he's in Europe and he says this.
Is he British?
Yeah, I think he's from England.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's,
yeah, go down to St. Paul's.
Why don't you learn about the bombing of London, dude? Read up on Winston Churchill.
Let's see.
Go see Dunkirk. I'll probably trigger him. Oh, look at him wearing his stupid football jersey.
Yeah,
oh,
he went to the Wembley game. Cool.
Oh, I hope his hair falls out. Oh, my God. Would that would be the biggest dopamine rush I could possibly get, is if that guy goes bald in the next year.
Oh, his hair is quite coiffed.
All right, Richard Marks.
He loves his hair. There's nothing more important to him than his hair.
Richard Marks it's number 14 on the AC Rock chart right now.
AC Rock chart?
Another one down.
Can I decide if this song rocks?
Yeah, you can review it. Another one down. Let me find it. Another one is down.
Oh, my God. Are we going to get attacked by Richard Marks? Have we crossed that threat?
Why? We're promoting a song. What if you like this song? What if you end up really falling in love with this song?
I don't think this song's going to rock.
Well, Just half the rock. Looking through the last 10 days of text you sent. Oh, and Twitter. Oh. Wondering if all of what you said is what you meant. A rock and roll. Is this song about Bruce? I guess it's over now,
but you never gave a reason. Wow, he's really trying to be modern.
Yeah, well, good for him. I guess I wasn't worth the work,
cause you never Wait. Even said goodbye. First of all, this doesn't belong in any rock charts. Oh, it's starting to rock.
It does sound like something Harry Styles or one of those former one of those former boy banders might do. The beat, or like it's a Shawn Mendes song or something.
Kind of a big production piece.
Sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
Or 14. Okay, well that's great. That's another one down. Richard Marx.
I'm not sure that qualifies as a top 15 hit. That would be the Billboard charts. You could even go to the Billboard.
Why don't you tweet him that?
Oh, boy.
I don't want to have to meet him at some bar on a Saturday night.
Well, he's coming to town in February.
That story from that guy's blog is really very funny. Facebook Live this week, not today, but this week will be brought to you by GrowGreen MI, where they buy in bulk, pass savings on to you, the growers, with insane deals like Mills 10-liter base nutrients for $49 each, Heavy 16 6-gallon base nutrients for $99 each, and Advanced Nutrients Overdrive, 10 liters, normally $314, now only $159. That's almost 50% off. GrowGreen's the only, it's like 49.7% off. It's not just almost 50% off. It's really almost.
Did you do that math in your head?
I did, because 159 times 2 is 318, and it's normally 314, and now it's 159.
Well, I use a calculator for that.
GrowGreen is also the only store in the state fully stocked on Fluence LEDs. Don't wait 3 months ordering from another store. Get them today at GrowGreen. Mention the Drew Mike Show. Click GrowGreenMI.com. And I think it was in Brandon's prep today about cops are saying, would you please stop calling us about your neighbor smoking pot?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big article today.
Or growing, for that matter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this the year of the asshole? Doesn't it just seem... Well, I mean, I feel I have really nailed it, because I really haven't seen a lot of people saying, boy, we're in tattletale culture now. But no, we are. People love telling on people.
I don't think that's what this is about. I think that in years past, people would call if there was an odor, or maybe they knew their neighbor was growing, and the cops could do something about it then. Yeah. Now, there's really nothing they can do about it. They go there. They can't really cite them. And even if they do somehow, the individual will find a way to, you know, get out of it.
But they made it sound like people are calling a lot, non-stop, like they didn't used to call.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people growing right now and smoking right now.
Yeah, in the open.
But it would be a real shitty thing to do to anyone, to call the cops on someone smoking pot. I mean, isn't that really lame?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it is, but I guess I can understand, because we smell it a lot in our house.
Did you know that Snoop Dogg smokes weed?
What, you smell a lot in your house?
If the windows are open in the summer. There's a neighbor. There's actually two neighbors. I mean, I'm not complaining about it.
They smoke that much?
That is nice. Yep. That is nice.
Yep. Well, one's growing it, because I was actually...
Well, you can legally grow 12 plants.
I'm not complaining at all. But at one point, I was like, do we have a skunk problem? And then Julie's like, no, I think blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever.
Okay, well.
I mean, I would never call the cops on it. It just doesn't bother me enough. But, you know, people are soft like Richard Marx out there. It might bother them.
All right, well, we'll say that they're soft. But
stop calling the cops.
Because
it's legal.
I maintain that we are in a tattletale world right now that has just gone bonkers. For some reason, it's okay. There's really no, I mean, even parents used to tell kids not to be tattletales, but adults are the worst tattletales now. Mm-hmm. He's giving me the sweets. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really been something that's been building, and it's just sort of congealed in my head. And so much of the negative feelings I have about what's going on in the world today were really sort of bore fruit and sort of, they congealed in my brain when we were talking about Deadspin on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I started diving into Deadspin and reading. And I know Deadspin. I mean, I've been to Deadspin many times. I sort of know what they're about. But I really hadn't followed them as a news story. I mean, I remember Buzz Bissinger going off on them on Bob Costas.
Yeah, with Will
in the
Leach.
Early days. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're very different now than they were 5 years ago.
Oh, I know. Which,
vastly different.
Which also, by the way, well, we'll save Deadspin.
And it's funny, I just in light of the documentary on Buzz Bissinger, I rewatched that whole argument, which the funniest thing about that argument to me was that Braylon Edwards was on the stage, too. He was the other panelist.
What?
I know.
What's Braylon
like,
doing
what?
There?
I don't know. I don't know why Braylon was there, but it's like, why is Braylon there? but the whole talk was about sports media and the rise of the internet. This might have been 10 years ago.
It was about 10 years ago.
And Buzz was really pissed, and he starts reading all this stuff from Deadspin. But Will Leach points out, he goes, those are all the comments. That's the comment section that you're reading from. This isn't stuff we publish. These are what readers are publishing. Like, he didn't understand the comment section.
Well,
it's a really funny watch.
Yeah, the argument was really about Buzz Bissinger, who's a professional writer who digs up stories and goes to locker rooms and, you know, and Deadspin, who was saying, hey, we're not beholden to anybody, so we can say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we're more objective than you are because you're sucked in to the world of those people you have to cover who you know, and you have to be held responsible
you
for what
them.
You write.
Yeah.
And
I think both points are valid there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to criticize someone for actually showing up as opposed to just going on a computer going,
sure.
I hardly thought it was
you don't think that's a valid point, though? I mean, I'll give you an example. Look at Mike Valeni. He always makes a big deal about not going down there. Partly, I think, because he doesn't want to, which is
yeah,
fine.
I would never want to. I fully admit that I don't want to.
That's partially why he's always aggravated.
I didn't want to do it either.
No.
But to put down people that go to the trouble to go down there and get people's comments.
I wouldn't put them down either, but it does give you a different view because you don't have to see those people or deal with them.
No, it's very true. Ask Eli about Denny and his many comments over
there. There you go.
Eli had to answer for.
Perfect answer. It's true, though. And that's, I mean, having both sides on a show work, really. Well,
but you don't know as much as the people who go down there and talk to all these people all the time, and
because they get whispers from other people that are down
there. Absolutely.
No, I think they both have their place, and that's what Deadspin used to be.
Well,
and Deadspin would actually create stories. I mean, Manti Te'o.
That's a big one.
What a fantastic story.
That's a big story. But, you know, here's the thing. And we'll have to just go to Deadspin and come back to Deadspin because I have a lot to say about Deadspin. But, and Deadspin, by the way, I hate that this is a sports story. Maybe we should do a Twitter poll.
It's not, though. It's an internet story.
Do we do too much sports, not enough sports, or the right amount of sports? And then add, of course, we are not a sports podcast, but.
Sure.
What, you think that's a dumb question?
No, I think it's a fine question.
Because I get frustrated every time.
Do you consider the, I don't see, whatever.
No,
I don't consider Deadspin a sports story.
I could see Trudy Dreamweavering on the Deadspin story. Maybe that's the wrong standard. But but it's really not, this isn't a sports story. The fact that someone bought Deadspin and they want them to write about sports and they said anything related to sports. Mm-hmm. And I even saw Deadspin writers saying, hey, there are non-sports posts, it's like 2% of the posts. What's the big deal? It's like, well, what's the big deal for your boss to say, don't do the 2%. You're talking about 2%. But
So don't do the 2%.
Right, but
2%.
That they can't. No, they can't. They cannot do the 2%.
Big miscommunication between the two because, once again, it's what do you define as a stick-to-sports story?
Well, I read what, is it GEO?
Yeah, G-Slate, yeah.
Yeah, what they said. And they said there's many things that are sports stories. It's got to be related to sports. They're really referring to they would do like the top classic rock bands.
Or, which was dumb.
Or the milk to cereal ratio, you know.
Which
and
is dumb.
I know, and maybe it's amusing, but they were just trying to really paint them as sports. And I think Deadspin has this idea, or they did, that they were so important and that their commentary is just so incisive and incredible and irreplaceable. And they're so woke, and they're so right, and they're calling out all these terrible people like the Barstool people and Jim Brewer, who made an inappropriate joke on Barstool. I mean, first of all,
that's when the site started changing.
Well, yeah, okay, they go from this completely unwoke
thing. It's kind of like Oprah when Oprah changed.
Yeah. don't act so freaking righteous. Yeah. Your people have I mean, you would think that no one there ever makes any mistake mm-hmm. ever.
Even though they made a major mistake, which is why they've been sold three times, and that was putting Hulk Hogan's sex tape out there. Yeah. That documentary is fascinating, however you want to think about it.
But it sounds to me like G.O., who bought Deadspin, is trying to make more money.
Yeah. They were finally profitable for the first time in 4 years.
You know, entrepreneurs, this is what they do. And you can't be Deadspin without an entrepreneur, someone who takes the risk. I mean, this is like, I don't know, I feel like some of the most basic things in the world are under attack. And G.O., by the way, is attacked by their own writers because they're white men and they cheated women out of their jobs. I don't remember reading that part, but you were looking at it earlier and I was looking over your shoulder going, what?
What did they say?
Well, in early August, one of their writers, she put out kind of an entire expose just about the ownership of the company. Basically, she threw out all of her bosses under the bus. She listed every single one of them and how they're all white males and how they all came from the purchaser, Jim Spanfeller. Basically, all the guys that he used to work with, he brought them all in. And he brought this team in because he wanted to make Deadspin successful. Well, they're very upset that there was no women in the leadership roles, except for one or two.
But they went on to say that
was a woman.
They went on to point out, weren't they suggesting that these people had gotten things they didn't deserve that women should have gotten?
Oh.
Yes, and a lot they just felt like he should not have put that team together without making.
Then you buy it and you put your team together
without making the jobs public first, because he didn't put those jobs out for the public to apply for. He just pretty much called up his old buddies at Forbes and Playboy and said, "I'm doing this. Help me out."
That's a real funny thing too, because you're supposed to put what is it, the EEO?
Yeah,
well, you're whatever it is. You're supposed to put job listings out,
right? So you can waste people's times who you're not going to hire.
I can't tell you how many times a certain place where we worked was about to hire someone, but it wasn't official,
right?
Until the ad got cleared,
and so all these tapes got sent in, and all these people wasted their fucking time when they knew what they were going to do.
They knew where they were going to hire anyway.
So. And, you know, as far as the Deadspin people and their independence, you know, thankfully for them, this is a good economy right now. They can probably go off and find good jobs. And I don't, you know, if somebody doesn't like something and they want to do, you know, it's not that I'm rooting for the Deadspin management to rule over these people. Not that at all.
Here lies the problem. Now who gets to work for Deadspin? Because over the weekend we had a guy. Who, hey, I just got hired at Deadspin. Here's my
get your resume is ready.
Here is my very first post on Deadspin. And within an hour, he was bombarded with hundreds of, you fucking scab, and you suck, and how could you?
So wait, why?
That's another angle, because they did just unionize, which
but wait.
A lot of good that did.
How is he a scab? They quit their jobs. They're not on strike.
No,
they're not allowed to strike. Their union has a clause in it, a no strike.
But how is he a scab? They're not working. He is one of many jobs of people who've left. And
you know, the beauty is about the internet. These former writers can all go start a new blog, and they probably will.
They will. They should. If they think they're that great,
Once you start accepting commerce, though, it gets a little different, because they wrote a blog post about that ad, and that allegedly cost them a lot of money, which their owners didn't like, allegedly.
Well, believe me, I understand, because there were plenty of advertisers in my career I'd love to say shitty things about, but I passed because it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
And I know people have been fired for saying things about advertisers, and trust me, I don't think many of those things worked out too well.
Paused.
I mean, you can get pretty full of yourself when you're doing a show and you have an audience and it's successful. But I think the mistake is when people think, I'm bulletproof.
Yeah.
I can do anything, anywhere. People love me. It's all about me.
Yep.
Because you can go across the street or you can go to the sports station in the afternoon and find a lot of people. It's not the same thing. It's not, you know, there's not the rock music around it. There's not the money around it. There's not the promotion around it. There's not the other shows around it. So it's very complicated.
How could you hate me? I'm perfect. I'm amazing.
But what? Why do they have to destroy Deadspin? Why can't this guy just go right? And he's not, believe me, I don't think Deadspin's going to do super, I don't think they're going to have a lot of success in the future.
No, I think it's probably the wrong move by then. That's the ironic thing. It probably is the wrong move.
But they're getting support for it. Everyone's, we got your back!
Yeah, to the point where that guy who had his debut article over the weekend and received all those tweets. He already quit. He quit within like 3 or 4 hours. Oh. He's done.
Then he wasn't long for the job. Then.
Now, what they have is
he would have been attacked for something.
They do have sports stories.
He would have been a boring writer
on their website right now, but most of the authors aren't listed. Instead of saying this story is by so and so, it's now by Deadspin writers. So now, they're going anonymous.
How stupid is that? Why should they have to do that? I mean, that's really incredible. How righteous can you be? And that's part of my problem with Deadspin is what, you know, we could probably dig up dirt on Dave and Chuck. We could probably find out that they've been mean to someone or left a bad voicemail. That's what Deadspin lived on for years was look at Stuart Scott hitting on this Broncos cheerleader.
Or who's the Mike Tirico? I mean, they...
Yeah, Mike Tirico, on and on and on.
That's in the ESPN.
No, they had a whole
hammered on Tirico.
Regular series about these horrible ESPN.
Sean Salisbury still hasn't recovered.
I read the Washington Post and New York Times stories, which, of course, are extremely sympathetic to these writers who are so important. And they're talking about, look at the stories they broke. They broke the Manti Te'o story. They broke the Brett Favre penis story. Mm. They broke the Sean Salisbury showed his dick story. I'm like, really? The Brett Favre, Sean Salisbury, Stuart Scott's voicemail. Those are really important stories. I mean, you really, that's why Deadspin's so
I think boring.
Still, the boss wouldn't care about that
one.
Because those are sports related. The boss wouldn't
care
about
exactly.
That's what I meant about there being a disconnect in what the boss wanted versus what the writers thought their freedom was being infringed upon.
Well, it was being infringed upon because...
But it's their
They were trying to make money. They're a business. Yeah. And that was their idea. And they may be wrong. But you know what? If you're the...
Commercials have the power to change the world.
If you're the entrepreneur, it's your right to be wrong and it'll cost you.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing to me, though, is when it comes down to any other gig, if you're working in a shop and your manager says, I don't want you to do this anymore. I want you to do this. And you say, screw you. I'm going to do this anyway. You're going to get in trouble. And it seems goes for pretty much any other job. You can't really undermine your boss. You're biting the hand that feeds you in a way. But
sounds familiar.
But a lot of the people who are in journalism, they really, really back the Deadspin people.
Well, they seem to think this is a cause célèb. Let me just put it this way. Let's just say that that the Deadspin people who know everything and are always right and they're so woke that they say, oh, you know what? We're just stupid people with lots of money. I don't know how we stumbled into this money. You guys do what you do. We're doing this right now. These are our revenues. We need to make this to survive. That's why we bought Deadspin. So we'll do it your way. And then let's say 2 years later, oh, what do you know? We didn't make the money. Are the Deadspin people going to pay back the... Are they gonna make up the money that the company didn't make?
They're going to start... they'll probably start their own blog and we'll see. We'll see if
but I mean, if they actually listen to them and said, we'll do it your way, and then it doesn't work out, there's no skin off their ass.
No, not at all. They're not putting the money forward.
And I hate the idea that I support the man. Well, no, I don't support the man, but, you know, there's two sides, and the guy who invests, I mean, he is taking the risk.
Yeah.
And I think there's a feeling now that, oh, that's just some lucky white old guy that inherited a lot of money. Fuck him. Well, there are successful people who build things. And I don't know, it's just that story. There's so many interesting parts
so
of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, not the least of which is that Deadspin starts out as this just asshole site. And then after a few years, all of a sudden they're, well, I regret some of the things I did before, but here's what I'm doing now. This is really important. And, I mean, there's no margin for
error. It's easy to write that stuff. I think that's why they started doing a lot of it, like digging up people's old tweets.
Well, it's easy to declare people unwoke, too.
Yeah.
But Jim Brewer, I mean, to suggest Jim Brewer is a racist.
Cheap shot.
I don't know Jim Brewer that well. I know a lot about Jim Brewer. He's a really good guy.
He's a great guy.
But, oh, he was on Barstool, and he made a funny that somebody at Deadspin didn't like.
Yeah, but Deadspin hates Barstool so much that they have people listening to every one of their shows waiting to find something so they can bring him down. And and Dave Portnoy, he had a hell of a time watching this whole Deadspin thing. He was actually a really fun follow during the last week when it was all falling apart because he was celebrating. And, you know, the guy is so cocky.
He's kind of a dick about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would expect him to be a dick. And they've been a dick to him. They've been a huge dick to him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's their existence. Dave Portnoy's a dick. Barstool's wrong. And they're terrible people.
And those are the two things I hated about each site.
Right.
But I love...
You know, if we did nothing but talk about Dave and Chuck and Mojo and how horrible they are, is that really... I mean, I don't mean... Some people do like that.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, you know, if we did it in reasonable doses, people probably would get off on it. But honestly, I just feel like it's... To act like that's important...
We need to spend a lot of time on WJR.
We did, that's true. But to act like that's important...
I know.
Important work we're doing.
It's not. It's would not
bullshit.
Be enough. It would not be enough for me to quit my job, which makes me wonder: were they not getting paid much under this new guy because they weren't making revenue for 4 years until the last quarter? I don't know,
Mark. I didn't hear anyone say anything about their paycheck being lousy. I just don't even know. Can you check on that, Brandon?
Sure.
That's interesting. The one writer there that
I listened to their pod. I was so into this story.
How was their podcast?
I didn't think it was very good. I have to be honest. And I noticed that. The Barstool podcasts do very well.
Oh, yeah.
And the Deadspin ones.
On Sirius XM, too.
I didn't see the Sirius ones or the Deadspin ones doing as well. I just, you know, you look at the top shows and you see Barstool, and, you know, some of them higher than others. I didn't see the Deadspin shows doing that well. So I don't know.
I see salaries for staff writers being from $66,000 all the way up to like $100,000. Based on how long you've been there, and if you're a senior,
and that's good pay, and especially in journalism, where people thought there won't be a way to make a living in the next 5 years. 5 years ago, that's not bad, and they're younger people. But I would think your paycheck, when it's five figures, you probably know you're not that fucking important. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to put anyone down, but usually people with that kind of ego make a lot more money.
It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the site.
They're still going. I mean, I've always gone to Deadspin and to that account, Barstool, and those types over ESPN because they kind of give you more of a commentary instead of just being here with the staff.
Well, they aggregate, too, which is what's great. They aggregate off of, you know, Twitter and social media.
They all come from a point of view, which, you know, that may be just how everyone wants anything now, but...
The one thing...
I don't want... Especially when it comes to sports, I really don't want a lot of judgment around sports and all the people. And that's what this woke Deadspin, I felt
that's
like.
That's going to exist anyway, though.
That doesn't exist at Barstool.
Well, no, but just digging into people's past, it will. It'll exist somewhere. Cause people
but they
like
dig into
shit.
People's past that compete with them more than anything.
Oh, I know. People
and
we
people
don't
in
care
their
about.
World.
Yeah, they dox.
And some of it, you know, who'd they dox, Brandon?
Is that PFT commenter? They doxed
they just
him.
Outed him. Yeah.
Last year, his name is PFT.
Congratulations.
Commenter. That's what he goes by. That's what he writes by. That's what he does his radio show by. He doesn't use his real name. But last year, because he's part of the competition, they outed
that's
him. And
stupid. I don't understand.
Yeah, and I mean that's what got him in trouble in the first place because they outed Peter Thiel, didn't they, as a homosexual?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
And so Peter Thiel said, you know what? I made PayPal, I'm a billionaire, and now that you just screwed up with Hulk Hogan, I'm going to finance him until he buries you. And he financed Hulk Hogan until they buried Gawker to the point where he completely is gone now.
Yep.
Guess what? He was right.
Mm-hmm.
And he had money. So, you know, if you're so righteous, then why didn't they all quit when they outed Peter Thiel?
Because I think they felt, oh, that's Gawker, that's not Deadspin. But even though it was the
same thing. Oh, really? But it's the same umbrella.
Yeah.
You know... There's a lot of people that screw up, and there's a lot of it that should be written about, and I don't have an objection to it, but it just seems to me they're going so out of their way to declare people to be miscreants and, you know.
That's the one thing I was going to say is the one thing Deadspin did a really good job at is they had a reporter that they would send to every court case, like Aaron Hernandez or
and I,
Larry
I love
Nassar,
it. That's
and
great reporting.
She sat in there. I know it was excellent reporting, and she would get it out right away, and I thought she did a good job, but that's done. But somebody else could pick that mantle up.
Oh, but they won't allow them to.
No, I mean another site, hopefully, would pick that up.
God, that's weird. I thought they made much more money than that, Brandon, just because they're so self-righteous. I thought, boy, anyone can feel strongly
writers,
about anything. Yeah. But I just thought, wow, if they're that upset, those must be great jobs. They must be just tearing it up over there.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it sounds to me like they're more about what they believe than anything else, which, you know, get you so far.
I've always thought that they really tried to pick up where Gawker left off. Since Gawker was no longer, since Gawker was no longer there to be able to put a lot of their political stuff out and their woke stuff out, that Deadspin picked up the slack. And the new guy that bought it didn't want that. He said, I have a vision to make Deadspin money, and this is the way I want to go. And they just didn't agree with it. So,
well, that, you know,
clash with management.
By going into all these individual Twitter accounts and such, which was, this chewed up more of my day than I should have let it, but I found that they also seem to feel that there's all this animosity, that the ownership hates their point of view. And I mean, within the reading between the lines, I think they were saying that, that their ownership likes Trump, mm-hmm. and that he didn't like what they did. It wasn't about, because everything they did got a zillion hits, but they didn't like certain things, so they were trying to eliminate them. If equity companies operate this way, I would be really surprised.
You're going to say that to the boss's face?
I truly, and by the way, equity companies save companies. I mean, there's companies that are going down the tubes that jobs are just going to die, and they come in and they make them profitable, and they probably save a shit ton of jobs.
After they fire a bunch.
Yeah, they do that too.
Yeah, but sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes you got to.
No, I know. But I know some people to this day that are not fans of Mitt Romney because of being in charge of Bain Capital when they took over Clear Channel. Because they fired people left and right. But
well, the iHeart's doing pretty damn well. And I'm not saying that.
Well, now, yeah.
That, no, I know now. That everything they did was right either. Because
they just
I saw a lot of
from
people.
Bankruptcy too.
Yeah.
I understand. Believe me.
But
I understood what Beasley was doing when they blew up 105.1.
Oh,
it
yeah.
sucked. It you know, personally affected me, but I get it.
No, but I mean, iHeartRadio, I think, is really on the right track in a lot of ways. And believe me, there's nobody in radio I really management that I want to say is wonderful and brilliant or anything like that. But I would say iHeart is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a long way to go. And they're in a tough spot because, you know, audience is going one way and revenues are going.
We know they're gonna do well this quarter because, man, they rolled out the Christmas music on Friday.
Oh yeah.
And I see Jay Towers. Jay Towers had a special.
They carry that live?
They did on television, which I mean that must have been tough for Jay to get on TV.
Yeah, you know, well, it's a news event. So Jay had no choice but to be on TV.
He had Dave Coulier, you know, Michigan native who just moved back home. Remember, Maz said he lives in his neighborhood. Remember, Maz claimed.
Dave Coulier? What's Dave have to do with the Christmas music?
He was there.
Oh, he just happened to be there? Was he there to celebrate the Christmas music? He
loves Christmas.
Oh, okay.
It's his favorite time of the year. I can assume I didn't see it or listen to
okay.
it.
Okay.
But
no, I believe it.
Here's the clip they ran on
okay,
TV,
hang on.
Which I thought was pretty
hold
fun.
That, hold it's that
fun.
Clip. Because apparently Brandon isn't the only one nailing the trifectas and locks of the week. Suddenly, Gabara, Stacy, Anthony, Jessica, and all the hottest staff in Oakland County are busting in on Brandon's territory. Oh, for a short time, Zotford and Holly is offering their lock of the month with a never-before-seen trifecta that will more than double your paycheck. Oh, part one, get 0% financing up to 72 months on your next new Ford. Are you threatened yet?
Well, they totally stole my bet.
I know.
Oh, man.
Part two, on top of the 0% loan, you will make no payment on your new Ford for 3 months. Finally, the lock of all locks. In addition to 0% financing and no payment for 90 days, Zotford will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash.
Wow.
Really? Is this really the copy? Yes, Zotford will give you as much as $7,000 in cash when you buy or lease a new Ford. Take that cash and purchase your loved one's gift for the holidays. Go pay bills or take your family on the dream vacation of a lifetime. Your choice. Pick up the phone. Call Anthony. Directly to activate your lock trifecta of the month with 0% financing, no payment until after the holidays, and 7,000 cash in your pocket. 248-215-5151 is the magic number. Did we bet this copy?
No. 248. Of course not. No.
This is too good a deal.
I'm not biting the hand that feeds us.
I'm going to have a talk with Steve.
We got to send this to the lawyers immediately because I can't believe this is real.
I got to talk to Steve. I'm pretty sure I'm the first person in the world that ever created lock of the week, so. Him doing lock of the month.
Oh, it's we've got a copyright issue.
You have to change it to picks to click.
Here's Anthony's number, 248-215-5151. You tell them if they mess around with you, we're talking to attorneys because we haven't vetted this copy because it's so crazy. 248-215-5151. Call Anthony now before Brandon's Brandon tries to kibosh that Ford's ultimate lack. And speaking of Brandon's lock of the week, we won't know what his lock of the week did until tomorrow.
Yeah, because it's how many of the Pats given up?
I think it was four.
Four and a half. Their first tough game of the year.
Great pick, Brandon.
Be glad he didn't take the Maryland one you really wanted to take, the 22 points.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I took the Hokies.
You're right.
The money line?
No, I took...
I was trying to encourage you to take
the 17 and a half.
I think it's a great... I thought that was a great call. Because I told you before the game, I thought they had a chance to win.
Anybody see what Devin Singletary did tonight?
He did. Devin Singletary, big game today.
Email is pouring in on Devin Singletary.
95 yards, right?
Yeah, he's having a good day.
Looks like the lock of the year.
It's a lock.
How many yards did he need?
150 or something?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there, and he just got 100 today. So
he doesn't pull a hamstring or something.
All right.
He just scored a touchdown
in a car accident or something. That doesn't help the bet.
Where did this guy come from? Isn't he averaging like 16 yards a carry?
He's fantastic.
Yeah, 8.5 before this game today.
But why do I not even know who this guy is? Why is Brandon making outrageous bets on him?
You don't watch enough of the Sun Belt Conference.
I guess not.
Doesn't seem to be such an outrageous pick now.
Oh, no, it looks like a lot, Brandon.
You're right. I'm going to break his leg if I keep talking like this.
I know. I never want the guy to get injured. Maybe he'll just get mono.
Oh, God, the Hokies game.
Fun game, though.
It was a great game. It was a great game. It was. I can't argue with it. The last drive was spectacular. They were completing fourth down passes, third down passes.
What's funny about that, I was texting Pat during that.
Yeah.
And I seriously was commiserating with him about, why is Ian Book so terrible now? And he just wrote, too long to text. That's why he's so bad now. Because he was awful in that game. He was just terrible.
Yeah,
and then after the last drive where he converted two fourth downs for first downs and scored the touchdown, I wrote, Ian Book is the greatest quarterback ever. And he refuted that. And I said, but he won you the game. He won them the game.
He did. You know, when I thought about it, oh, please.
Ugh.
I really wanted to be mad after the game, but I felt like, you know, we had a third-string quarterback starting. How many plays did we run? Five different plays the whole game? It was a pretty good game plan, really.
Well, that 14-point swing at the end of the first half was pretty sweet.
That was pretty sweet. But we had just fumbled the ball on the 40-yard line.
I felt like I could feel Notre Dame's pain. That felt like a Michigan game in so many ways to me from the Notre Dame perspective.
I had a bad feeling. This is really bizarre, but Notre Dame had a chance to kick a field goal to make it 20-17.
Mm-hmm, when they missed.
And I thought, hey, if they miss this, then they have to score a touchdown. But if they make this, maybe they'll settle for a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown?
Yeah, I understand what you mean, but it's still rather a team have to score a touchdown.
Well, true.
Because you got to get closer.
You know, there's always those myriad of things you can look at after a game like that. Like, we were on the 11-yard line with a first down after that long pass to Trey Turner, mm-hmm. and we settled for a field goal, and I didn't feel too... I mean, being up by six...
They could have, all they needed was a good... That was a cool return.
Two more first downs.
Cool return there. On the, so what happened after Notre Dame scored and kicked the field goal, or extra point to go up 21-20, they kicked off, and Virginia Tech, what was that return? They all, like...
They had five guys
in a circle.
They got
in a circle around one guy, and then they all broke, like, you wouldn't know.
Everyone ran off like they had the ball.
But what drove me nuts is Tirico and, who does Kyler, is it Flutie?
Flutie.
Talking about...
They loved it!
Why did they love it? It didn't work.
They were trying something.
Oh, that's ludicrous. Return the ball normally.
I prefer a reverse to that. I would have preferred a fair catch and throw a 20-yard pass.
It ate up too much time.
Exactly.
And it looked dumb.
It looked really dumb.
So stupid.
It failed miserably.
It really did. But Tirico and Flutie loved it. So.
Okay, in just a moment, we'll have breaking news from the ABNN.
Oh, great. And we got to play the reveal of the Christmas music. It was exciting.
Exactly. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch football. Game-winning touchdowns on 2 minute drive. This is tough copy to read. Do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. You can double your paycheck by doing this. Well, you can double your deposit. Make your first deposit. Use promo code Drew to activate the offer, and they'll double your deposit.
You're already winning.
Promo code Drew. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Bet overs, unders like that monster Brandon. Or you can bet on fantasy players. Mybookie.ag, promo code Drew. Somebody, by the way, sent me a screenshot. He bet a dollar on a parlay. I don't know how many teams were in. There were a lot of teams. Anyway, he won, I want to say, $600 and something.
Marasso did. Marasso hit a parlay.
He won a parlay.
Get this, a $20 parlay, which, what a madman. Just money lines. I think he mainly took the favorites, but it paid out like $460.
He's going, Joe.
So, you know, winner's a winner. I'm not going to, I wouldn't complain.
Well, he more than 12 times his paycheck.
Yeah. You got to repeat it this week.
More though. Than 20 times his paycheck.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they got like parlays. You're not putting much on the line. I won 100 on the Hokies. That felt good.
Nice.
Actually, it well didn't done. Feel that good.
Well, because a lot. But it makes the loss
a little
takes
softer.
Away a little bit of the sting.
It softens it a bit. Okay, so
hurt go away.
I'm surprised the ABNN sounder should be going off any minute now because there's huge news.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news.
And
shit.
Booming.
Antonio Brown Instagrammed his bank balance of $24 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he Snapchat? Was it a Snapchat he sent?
Was it a Snapchat?
Yeah,
he,
you know,
no,
it,
I thought
funny.
They said he erased the deleted the post.
He might have. He's been burned by Snapchat. You know that Snapchat he did with Tom Brady when he was staying at his house?
Oh yeah.
Like he sent that out to a couple friends and they just passed it along to Barstool. I don't think he understands that social media people will send that along to other people.
This is one of these people that it's just so strange to follow this story and see that he's incapable of developing any humility. You would think the fact that he isn't playing would make him go, oh, boy, I got to change my ways. I got to do a few things. I got to get my life straight.
It seems like Cameo's been good to him. Look at all that money in his bank account.
Oh, my God. How many cameos is he doing?
Well, I don't think that he's been doing any lately.
What?
He charged $500 per cameo. And he was getting
stupid.
A ton of them. But right around the time that he got out of the NFL, he stopped doing them. And I believe he's unavailable right now.
So well, he's got $24 million.
So it is a. It was an Instagram because he wrote, "No one sues," which capital S-U-E-S. "No one sues someone who doesn't have money. You see, money attracts the wrong people to come against you. Jealousy and envy is an incurable trait. It's reciprocal, not donated. Beat the odds, laughing all the way to the bank. Hard work, talent, and believing in yourself. Dreams do come true. AB, the new money team. Hashtag booming. Hashtag call God." So I want him to post this like every month so we can watch it slowly dwindle down.
That's what all the comments were.
Oh, really?
Can we see the balance in 2 years? And someone said they thought that it looked like a money market account, which means he's making like 0.2% on his $24 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And someone else came back and said, "It's probably a blah 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 account managed by someone making 5-7%, you asshole." And then this argument proceeds. Racial. It was like, oh my God,
thank
what
God
is
that
going
exists.
On?
Oh man, it's comment section for you.
Well, good for AB. Glad he's got $24 million.
Well, let's go to a story.
So that shows how stupid he is, because why wouldn't you just settle those lawsuits or pay your bills so you could be playing in the NFL right now?
He is implying that all that money would disappear if he just gave in to the jealousy. See, he admits to doing nothing.
He's never done anything
wrong. Nothing.
No. Why?
Why doesn't his baby mama take him to court? By the way, that's where a big hunk of money would go. But she still has an informal agreement with him with three kids, and he fucks her over.
Is Russell Wilson in trouble now too for wanting Antonio Brown on the Seahawks?
I don't think so.
Okay,
they signed Josh Gordon, right?
Yeah.
It sounded like the
poor
Seahawks
man's Antonio Brown
were interested in this.
Yeah, no, the Seahawks weren't.
It's pronounced Gordon.
Russell Wilson was.
I don't know why that surprises me, but it does.
What surprises you, that Russell Wilson would want him?
Look what he did to the Patriots. He's trashing the owner.
Good receiver.
He's really good.
I agree.
Maybe Pete Carroll can turn him around.
And I think you can't always have people who are perfect on your team. There's always a couple jerks, a couple assholes, a couple guys who maybe, you know, don't always fly straight. But to me, he's the penultimate jackass. I just feel like he's poison.
Oh, right now he is.
Well, he was with Pittsburgh, too. Pittsburgh put up with it for a long time. They couldn't stand it anymore. I mean, they were the ones that benefited from his production.
How's his classes going? You know, it's funny. I saw Central on TV, and that's all I could think of watching them was, that's Antonio Brown's school. I wonder if he, I don't know why that just pops in my head now thinking.
No, I think the same thing. Anytime I see something from Central, I just think, is he going to be bragging about getting a degree from this school soon? Because that would be the most horrible, horrible thing.
Find Central down the field. Fight for victory. Fine fellas, never yield. We're with you, all varsity. Onward with banners bold. To thy colors we'll be true. Fight for maroon and gold. Down the field for CMU.
And the heated benches that he purchased.
They're now bowl eligible. Maybe Antonio Brown will go to the bowl game if they play down in the Bahamas again.
Did you see the benches that
it's got his name on it.
His name and number.
It usually happens when players donate stuff. They put their name on it.
It's just so bad. Whatever.
Good for him.
Okay, Christmas music is now available on the radio around the clock.
Do you think Dave Coulier is going to be on a radio station soon?
I don't know. Now that he's local, do you think he wants to get a local job? He has been popping up on a lot of media outlets.
Why is he local now?
Well, and he's from this area.
I know, but people around his folks or his family. Yeah. I suppose that makes sense.
Dave Coulier.
But aren't they? Isn't there still a Full House show?
I'm not sure.
You mean Fuller House?
Oh yes.
Is he a main contributor to Fuller House?
I have no idea.
I can't believe that Dave Coulier would not be part of it because
I thought everybody was except for
buddies with all those guys. They're all friends.
Yeah, the Olsen twins definitely are not in there.
But by the way,
is Gibbler on there?
Yes, she's one of the main stars.
Wow. Has anyone heard anything about the Olsen twins lately?
No, just that Neil Patrick Harris and his husband dressed as them for Halloween.
I saw their Halloween costume. They always have really funny Halloween costumes.
It looked like them. That was the scariest part. Like, how do they have such high cheekbones, those two men?
No, NPH and his husband and their family. Every
seen
year,
the picture?
Every year they have fantastic Halloween costumes.
Brandon, we
pull
the picture up so you can see it.
It's too funny.
So dumb. But it made me laugh. I don't know why.
But, I mean, how do you go from being... literally, the entire nation counting down till their 18th birthdays.
It's David Burka. Who's from
here? Oh, my God. That's really NPH. Good.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Neil.
Harris. I hate to say this, but I don't think they're that hot.
Well, they're not ugly, though.
No, they're not.
They always make weird faces.
Well, because they have no fat on their
face. Well, one of them has just...
The hottest one is their older sister.
Yeah,
she is
Who
hot.
Would you rather nail? Elizabeth? I disqualify myself because I've done them both.
The one that is seems to be, you know, askew.
Mary-Kate?
She married a guy that's much older. And she's
the French guy?
She seems like she has problems. I don't know what they are. But... I don't know. She just doesn't look terribly hot to me anymore.
It does not appear.
I like her boho nature. Don't get me wrong. I think I'd probably kind of like her as a person.
Coulier has a recurring role in Fuller House.
Okay, so you can just bolt out there and do that.
I suppose.
Okay, so meanwhile, he is available to celebrate things.
I think he's going to be on NIC. I think someone's getting blown out of that show and Coulier's taking the spot. I'm just saying.
Could be a huge development in local radio.
Well, here was his appearance along with Jay Towers.
Here we go. 5, 4, 3.
That's exciting.
2, 1.
Where's the video?
Wow.
No, this isn't it. This is the Full House theme.
Yeah, that's the Full House theme.
No, we don't want the Full House theme. Let's do it again.
That was a good joke.
Good one.
First song will be Get Ready for It.
Stroke of my, lick of my, suck of my cock.
Oh.
It's the first time for you.
All right.
So here's what you do. Unzip me and stroke me.
That'd be great.
What the hell is that?
If they really did use Rated X for the first one.
Maybe somebody bamboozled them or hacked their.
I forget what. I think it was Burl Ives was the first song. Did you see that
Where was Dave Coulier?
He was. He didn't hear him on there. He got very upset when they started playing the Full House theme.
Oh, okay.
That was cool.
That was all it was? That was the whole thing?
That's all it was.
Was that on Fox 2?
Yeah.
I think the real song was Holly Jolly Christmas.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for bamboozling.
I was psyched that there was a hack. It's hilarious. That would have been. But man, we'd have heard about that.
So that's iHeart and NIC. Not to be outdone, Entercom and The Breeze decided to launch Christmas music on the same day.
Oh my God! They ripped them off, those imposters!
We have two Christmas stations playing full time Christmas music.
Yeah, boy. They'll probably both do very well.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
I would think. I mean, NIC is just a machine.
Well, they've established it. Remember, did 105.1 try to do that once? Yeah, it didn't with Harper.
That didn't work out.
that didn't work out very well.
Yeah. That didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
What if you're a lover of soft music, but you don't like Christmas music? What are you to do now? Because both the soft stations have gone playing Christmas
music. NIC has just dominated December. Every year since they started doing this, there seems to be no end in sight. They've established it, so I think somebody, just like any format that works, even though it's 1 month a year, 2 months a year, it probably bleeds into January. They play Christmas music till February.
Why not play it all year round? Why not just be a seasonal station?
Know, there are a lot of chicks that really like Christmas music.
Oh, yeah.
And Maz.
Really, really enjoy it for weeks and weeks. And
I live
feel
with
good.
One.
Do you?
What?
Oh, yeah. Kristen loves Christmas music.
Really?
Loves it. Yeah.
Why is
already?
Does she listen to it all year round?
No. Well.
That's what I never understood. If you love the Christmas music, you can listen to it all year.
She sings Let It Snow year round. I don't know why. It's just her go-to song. I don't know.
Really?
She loves
Christmas
music.
Would she karaoke that song?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
Acapella. She don't care. She loves Christmas music. It just gets her in the spirit. She loves the holiday, so it brings back all these memories
of her
childhood.
I do not love the holidays. I don't know what's
happening. You don't like Christmas? What?
I don't know what's happening. Something horrible is going on in my brain because I'm like just flipping out over the holidays. I don't know what it is.
We were debating who has a worse birthday, me or my nephew, because this is December 23rd. And I still maintain that my birthday's worse.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's
forgotten.
January.
Fuck you.
No one gives a shit. They're all back to
I don't have any money.
Everyone's worn out. This is why I don't like birthdays, because my whole life, post-Christmas, post-New Year's, no one gave a crap. Yeah. That's fine. I mean, I'm cool with it now. I always was. It just never meant that much to me.
I have to admit, Halloween has been a good birthday to me, even though I didn't like it this year. I don't see the birthday, the holiday, all of it. Like, I just didn't want any of it.
Did you get a lot of trick or treaters?
Did.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, despite the nasty weather.
Yeah, there were a lot of them. And, you know,
there were a ton of people out of my block.
It seems there's a lot more black people in my neighborhood than I thought.
Oh, good. Very good.
I mean, trick or treaters were like 90% black.
Well, you got a good neighborhood for it. So.
No, it is. It's if you're south of 8 Mile, maybe, you know, I don't know what else to think. But their parents are in cars.
Good.
And the only part that I felt sad about was a lot of kids didn't have costumes.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
For.
I know. I felt bad for them.
They
should have been like Larry David.
they probably had costumes, but they were zipped up with jackets because it was cold.
No, they didn't have costumes at all. Some people were using their backpacks to put the candy in. I know. It kind of made me kind of sad.
That's weak. The inflatable pink unicorn was a hit in my neighborhood.
Oh, God, it had to be.
Although I couldn't see after one block, I couldn't see. It was all fogged inside. But it was raining and I was dry, so it was great. So I ended up just unzipping it and sticking my head out so it looked like I was
coming
out of the dinosaur.
That destroys the character.
That you and my 11-month-old daughter had the exact same same costume.
Get this. I'm walking down the street and another girl's coming the other way and she goes, I collect you. And I just went back and I go, I collect you. And I gave a strange little girl a hug. I'm like, that's weird. But I felt like it was kind of exciting. That's what it feels like to be a mascot. Like if I was Hooper. Like, that's cool. No one knows who you are.
That is cool.
Be a goofball.
Well, everybody likes, they love the Velociraptor suit. You know, that costume.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the one you had
that's
is
played out.
It's very much like that, but it's
played
a unicorn
out.
And not many people have seen it.
Like Trudy said, M&Ms were played out.
The inflatable dinosaur costume is played out. That is a fact. Absolute fact. Put it on Twitter.
Brandon, how far in are we?
110.
We are?
Yeah.
Man, it's going fast.
You know.
I mean, honestly, there's like, I wrote down 19 topics or something.
Well, the saddest one, there was a big celebrity death over the weekend.
Yeah.
I texted you about it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Rudy from Survivor.
Yes. It was actually trending.
I know.
He was a badass. Well, remember,
he was a Navy SEAL. He was a
badass. Remember, 50 million people watched that finale.
And everyone loved
him. Everyone knows who he is.
He was great.
Of course, the first thing I thought of was this scene.
Sexual. I was big muffing the whole time coming over here about being with homosexuals and lesbians.
Rudy would be canceled today. He never would have made it on Survivor.
That's what I found out last night, you know. When he came up here, he said, you want to talk? I said, no, I don't want to talk. And he was going to tell me he was queer then.
The weather ain't going to change.
Queer then.
6 degrees below.
Sounds like Gacy.
Borneo. That way.
The homosexual, he's one of the nicest guys I ever met. And he's good at what he does. You know, he's got leadership ability. And if these people here would listen to him, he would take them a long way.
See, Rudy learned.
But anyway, me and Richard got to be pretty good friends.
Hot.
Not in a homosexual way, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
And then he started coming on to me.
He's rubbing lotion on. That was Dr. Sean commenting in the background, by the way.
They're going to say when I get home.
Should we call Dr. Sean for comment?
Why not?
To eulogize.
So ridiculous. I want to do it.
I don't know if we still.
Can I hear the Dr. Sean audio again?
Where he's in the background?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it. By the way, off the air, Dr. Sean came up a while ago because I was re-listening to the 9/11 broadcast.
Yeah.
And you wanted to call somebody in New York, and your first thought was Dr. Sean from Survivor. Your second thought was Jonah Falcon. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Here's Dr. Sean in the background.
Homosexual way, that's for sure. Make sure you get this on TV.
Oh, boy, you better have a beer in your hand when you're doing this one, Rudy.
A pretty good guy. I don't know what my buddies are going to say when I get home.
Basically, Dr. Sean was giving him shit because he's rubbing suntan lotion on the back of Dick Hatch.
Well, he has to be canceled too then.
By the way, why did they have suntan? This Survivor's gone soft.
They have.
Why do they have all that crap?
I can't get over
it. I like to deal with that.
I can't get over what stars they were. We were fighting for Keith Fainan for what's his face? I can't remember his
Mike
name.
Mike Scoopin.
I've canceled him in my brain.
Kelly Wigglesworth.
I mean, isn't it bizarre?
Let's see if I can find.
They were huge. Everyone knew them because everyone watched that show. I mean, there used to be shows that people would at a certain time, a certain week, gather around the television.
Must see TV.
More. Yeah, must see TV.
I gotta figure out Dr. Sean's last name so I can find his.
Oh, by the way, I was reading about The Irishman. And how the theater and movie people are so angry it's going to Netflix so soon.
Sorry.
It's meant to be seen on the big screen.
Please.
I know.
You know who produced it? Netflix, so they can decide whatever.
Exactly.
Be lucky you have it at all.
Well, I kind of wanted to see it on screen, and then it's over 3 hours. And so I said, well, I can wait 26 days, I think.
Yeah. I felt the same thing because it's going to be a great movie. I already know because the accolades are coming in. Everybody's talking about how great it is. It's got Joe Pesci for the first time in 20 years.
I know. I'm psyched for that.
But I can wait a few days to see it on my Netflix account.
Joe Pesci, by the way, is not Joe Pesci Casino. Joe Pesci. Oh, totally different character. I know. I was kind of bummed too, but I love Joe Pesci.
Is he Harry from Home Alone, Joe Pesci?
No, I don't think so.
Man, all I can find are the first, second Survivor phone numbers.
The first Survivors. Wait,
I don't know why.
Who was the black guy that had trouble swimming?
Jervis, you made me so.
I should be canceled for saying that, but he didn't know how to swim, did he?
No.
Jervis, you make me so mad.
Oh, here's the Survivor singer guy.
Kelly.
Oh, here's Dr. Sean. I found him. So excited.
Okay, let me first mention.
No way this number's going
to
work.
Before we get to the All Financial Hotline for a failed phone call, although. We did get, how incredible was it that we got
Milton?
Milton's father.
Yeah.
Milton Sr. That was amazing.
He's good. Good
people,
dude.
People were blown away by that call.
I was scared.
And, you know, I hope we explained it well. And if I think people understood, because some people were saying, I don't even remember the original story. And I was completely blown away. And it was definitely very edgy because you could tell that he was still angry about the 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know what? I understood a little bit, but as he talked longer, at first I was like, you know, as his father. I guess I should have been more understanding. But then he goes on to say he's ready to testify against his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's supporting his friends who put the tattoo on him. They should have been punished. I mean, they were complete assholes.
We didn't know. So, apparently, we were missing a big part of the story.
Because his kid was a dick didn't mean that they weren't dicks. I just thought he was really hard on Milton Jr. I'm team Milton Jr., I think.
Maybe he's too hard on him, and that's why Milton's gone the other way.
Well, it's a tough call. It was a sad story. I mean,
all honestly. All you gotta do is sing a little, Father and Son by Cat Stevens at karaoke, and all will be healed.
The thing with, males in particular, when they're Milton's age, he was 17, he was a screw-off.
Mm-hmm.
And 14 years later, he's 31, 32, whatever he is. And it sounds like he's going nowhere. And I find that most people, they'll still sort of rally around that person and they'll let it all go for the holidays or, because they're hanging out. But it just sounded to me like Milton Sr. was, because I remember, back in the day, if you were a failure, unemployed or had a shitty career where I grew up and you're in your 30s or 40s, I mean, you'd just almost be shunned.
Yeah. Now it's, not your fault.
Right. Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Unless you're Milton Jr. So I don't know. It's just sad. But our friends and original, doesn't mean we shouldn't have another failed phone call in the Hall Financial Outline. Our friends and original sponsor, Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, launched their Jeep Adventure Days. And yeah, it's exciting because during Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days, you finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for. Like a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited, as low as $166 a month. Or maybe you want the Mac Daddy. If you do, we can lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee, as low as $268 a month. And, of course, they've got one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means lots of sweet Jeeps to choose from. And you know we can't get through a Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram read without mentioning, yes, the Ram trucks. Lease a 19 Ram Crew Cab Big Horn Edition as low as $145 a month. And yes, Zod has an ass ton of Rams to choose from also, so see details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
That's what I'm going to drive.
I wonder what's going on with that. $7,000 in cash. That deal is too good to be true. Oh, my God. They've lost their minds.
It's going crazy.
I want Gabar to be given some medical treatment immediately. Should be checked out over a deal like that. Oh, there's the All Financial Hotline wide open. As Dr. Yaldo reminds you, he's been with us for a couple years now. He believes in us. And fortunately, it's all worked out, as a lot of people have gotten life-changing surgery from him on through the show. Either the Cat's Custom LASIK, the most precise in the world, or what's called lens exchange for people 45-plus who can't stand their reading glasses. He's number one in Michigan. He's got all those 30,000 LASIK, tens of thousands of lens exchange and cataract procedures. Dr. Yell doesn't lure you in with promises of low cost, as other people attempt to suggest that it's really almost free to get low-priced LASIK or free to get LASIK. But then you go and find out what the real price is. But if you have shopped and you think you've got a great deal, take it to Dr. Yaldo, and he promises Drew and Mike listeners he'll beat any LASIK offer you get. Get the best, pay the least. The evaluation's free. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And Luke Nowacki. Boy, what a sport Luke is. Luke actually sent me an email. We've been talking about having, you guys know, we're talking about getting someone else over at Zot that we know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is going to work out or not. I think it'd be cool if it did.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's his thing, though. But it's a great opportunity because, it's a good job. It's mm-hmm. makes some good money out.
It's a great job.
And he's connected to the show.
Someone needs to be able to handle these podcast listeners. Reply to emails and whatnot.
I know, that's really hard. Well, it seems like it was hard. I think it's a great opportunity, and maybe it'll happen. I don't know. But anyway, Luke actually said he would dedicate some of his commercial copy to help this guy get started because he likes him so much.
Oh, wow.
I know. I thought, you don't have to do that, Luke.
So well, kind.
We could pull that off. But, yeah, Luke's been a real team player for the Red Shovel Network. Anyway, Luke's there for you if you're looking at investments. And he's still bullish, by the way, because I got a long email from somebody who said, "We're going into a recession! The bubble's about to burst!" And I told the guy, "Would you please call CNBC and
leave me alone?" I feel like the bubble's going to burst because everybody keeps saying it.
Well,
stop saying it.
Sometimes that helps the bubble burst.
Oh, it absolutely does.
But I forwarded it to Luke, I think, and it's funny, Luke always responds, and it's always a long response. And Luke feels bullish. He said the jobs report was good, better than expected.
Better than expected.
Went on a number of other things as to why he's bullish. But, you know, when the market gets bouncy, that's when people like Luke can be very successful for you. Hopefully you've got some money in reserve or some way to take advantage of it. And that's what guys like him do. But it's a financial plan that he's most interested in. People that don't have one and realizing that I should have one. I have kids. We were thinking about college. We got to retire. We don't want to outlive our money. Call Luke Nowacki. Get his team to go to work for you at 248-663-4748. You can email Luke at lnowacki at pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Lnowacki at pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates is a separately owned other entities in our marketing name, Smart Services. Referenced here, independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated in the Hall Financial Hotline. Go to drewandmike.hallfg. Save money on a refi. That's what they're doing for so many people. And also providing the Hall Financial Hotline. And
there's a number here for Jervis.
Oh, Jervis? I'd love to get a comment from Jervis. He wasn't on the same show, though, was he?
Was he? I don't know.
Wasn't he on the second show?
I don't know.
We can call. We can try it for Jervis.
No, he was on the first one, wasn't he?
Was he?
I don't have a number for Kelly Wigglesworth.
She had that terrible, horrible speech.
Oh, Sue? Remember Sue?
Sue?
Yeah, wasn't Susan, like, wasn't she one of the finalists?
Oh, was she?
Real rough chick. Yeah.
Dr. Sean Survivor. I got to look him up. I can't
Fun
remember
fact about Dr. Sean, apparently he used to do a radio show. He's probably doing a podcast now.
Is it Sean Kenneth?
Yeah.
He had a radio show?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Really?
It was called The Dr. Sean Show.
Well.
It was very exciting.
I would be amazed if this is still his number.
Well, there's only five.
He's in Scrubs.
There's only five of them to try.
Your call has been answered by Avaya IP Office. Extension 4.
That can't be Dr. Sean, could it?
I don't know.
Is not available. To leave a message, wait for the tone. When finished recording, press pound for more options. Otherwise, for assistance, press 0 now. Record at the tone.
The hell is that? Dr. Sean, this is the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit. We've spoken to you a few times back in the day. And with the death of Rudy Bosch, we were hoping to get some comments from you. Thank you very much. See you, Sean.
To make private, press 1. To make priority, press 2.
Priority, press 2 on that.
Boy, did you see Dr.
To make private, press 1.
Did you see Dr. Sean's wife?
Oh, she hot?
Oh, my God. Really hot.
Well, he's pretty hot.
Yeah, and he's a pretty good-looking guy.
That's the first thing Brandon and I
He's all
to.
Yours.
We're going to have to fight for him, Brandon. What was he ever a doctor of? Do we even know if he was a doctor?
I think we need to vet that. When we're vetting Guevara, let's vet Dr. Sean.
That's really interesting.
Survivor.
I mean, he did do a radio show where he called himself Dr. Sean.
Is this Jervis?
No, we have a couple for Dr. Sean.
A couple?
Maybe we have five. I don't know. It's crazy. One of these is going to hit. Hey, we sat through what? Like, hello?
Dr. Sean?
Hey, who are you calling?
Is this Dr. Sean?
So, who are you calling?
Dr. Sean Kenneth.
What area code?
516.
Yeah.
Is this Dr. Sean? Are you Dr. Sean Kenneth?
No. No.
What? I'm sorry?
What? Give me the number you called.
I was listening to a page. It's your number is the one we called. We called you.
Yeah, I mean, they switched us to a different number.
Apparently, this used to be Dr. Sean Kenneth's number. If it isn't anymore, then that would be important information for us to have. But all this other business.
516. 516, Long Island, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You're calling from Michigan.
Yeah.
516. What's the next three numbers?
All right.
Boy, get a room with Uranus.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Am I incorrect?
Yeah, that's the number. You can erase it from your data bank.
You're not okay? Dr.
I don't have a data bank.
Well, get one.
Have you gotten any other calls for Dr.
I had one. I had this number on it.
Why do we have to get a data bank?
What? What an anus. For a second there, I thought we were calling Danny Ainge's number. And it sounded just like that.
Oh my God, could he be a little more anal? Was he an error code?
What is so hard to understand that, yeah, that's the number. It's obviously not someone else's anymore.
I think he's an expert on the middle three numbers of a phone number. That's his expertise.
Well, we said it's not his number anymore. What else do you want to know? We know what number we dialed.
I thought he was Dr. Sean, but he didn't want to admit it.
Oh, come on. Dr. Sean will admit it.
I thought so, too. But
here's the next one.
That'd be the,
God, I...
that'd be the more amazing thing, Dr. Sean not admitting it's him.
Is this Dr. Sean, too?
Yeah.
What?
Mark's. Mark said, I got his number.
So you, Dr. Sean, had something going on.
He handed me a phone book.
How many phone books do you
I handed
have?
You a database. Oh, that's his fax. That's Dr. Sean's fax.
Jeez, what were you faxing him?
Nude pictures.
Sounds like it.
Hey, I think Jervis was on season one, for what it's worth. I just saw him in the intro.
We need to call him anyway.
So was somebody named Gretchen, whose number I apparently had at one point.
Wow. Oh, what about the girl who was in the Rob Schneider movie?
Oh, Elizabeth. She was hot.
Was she in the first season, wasn't she? Yeah. She was cute.
Was Jenna on the first one, the one who did the sex tape?
Oh. I think she was.
There was only way to look it up. This is a stupid song.
I know. It was so dumb. Remember when, Jeff Probst got so pissed because I said his little trip to, you know, his come-home trip was really fake and dumb?
Yeah, because it jumped edited. Right,
yeah, he got so mad.
Yeah, he's defending it. Hello?
One more.
Jervis.
That was supposed to be Dr. Sean again.
This is the last one for Dr. Sean.
There's another Dr. Sean number?
Yeah, okay. I got a big database, all right?
Jesus. Well, what's that guy's problem?
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the
Dr. Sean's gone from the most available to the most unavailable guest ever.
Well, it's been 20 years. After 20 years. Changed his number. After 20 years.
Why do you have such a hard-on about getting a data bank? But
well, get one.
20 years.
I don't have one. Get one. Years. Kind of come back. Well, yeah. Get one so I can put that number in and then delete it? Is that your point?
I want to find out, is he in the data bank business or is he an expert on the middle three numbers? Because it's one of the two.
I'll save his number. Maybe we can give him another show sometime.
No, never call that guy
so
again.
So intense. All right, time to try Jervis.
Really? You want to try Jervis,
yeah,
my
absolutely.
Man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Jervis.
I think Jervis might have the same number.
Why do you think
I don't know.
That's racist.
No, it isn't. What do you mean?
I'm just kidding.
Jervis. I would have thought Dr. Sean would have had the same number. Yeah, I thought
number.
He would.
There you go. There's Jervis, my man. He voted off Kelly.
Jervis, my man.
Isn't that you remember
Kelly,
that?
You voted off Kelly. Jervis, you make me so mad.
You broke the alliance we had. I thought it would be Sean for sure. But not
ridiculous.
Jervis.
Oh, my God. I thought I was reading the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
I was on Survivor, the band's Wikipedia page.
Oh, gross. I'm sorry.
Ridiculous.
Man, I can't find the Jervis song.
Did they do anything besides Eye of the Tiger?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Well... Bump. That those bum, dudes bum, ended bum. Up, they left to do Real Men of Genius.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was a Survivor dude?
Wasn't that the lead singer of Survivor? And then they kicked him out, and then he went on to do those commercials.
Sounds
you guys
right.
had him in for studio, in studio.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Wow, that's some that's forgotten great radio, apparently.
That's what happens when commerce mixes with radio.
Okay, so is it Jervis officially unreached?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm seeing if there's a number for him elsewhere. You never know.
What's Jervis's last name?
Peterson.
Jervis Peterson?
Yeah, but it's not spelled the way you'd think.
Hey, Jarvis.
Yeah, it's not like J-E-R-V-I-S.
Do you think he's
J-E-R-V-A-S-E.
Do you think he's 50 or 55 now?
I'm going to say 50.
Not 55.
He's 50.
I don't know.
He is 50, okay. Let's try
Sanja. Oh, Sanja was tossed out the first one. She's first ever tossed out,
yeah,
wasn't she?
That's the one we got a dressing down from CBS about.
She was the old bag. B.B. Anderson, Stacey Stillman, Ramona Gray, Dirk Bean, Joel Klug, Gretchen Cordy, Greg Buis, Jenna Lewis.
Yeah, nice.
Jervis Peterson. He was 30 then.
Okay. So yeah.
Colleen Haskell. Sean Kenneth.
I do have the Survivor guy's number popped up on my database.
Susan Hawk, Rudy Bosch, Kelly Wigglesworth, and Richard Hatch.
Is Dick Hatch still in prison?
There you go. Oh, that's right.
Jervis.
Won all that money and he didn't report it.
Didn't, yeah. Man, Jervis is looking studly today.
But Jervis was a stud. He was cool.
What do you think he's doing now?
I bet there's something Survivor related.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Which, you know, credit to him if he could still make money off of it.
Sure.
Ooh. Apparently there's...
Please leave your message for 60.
Jervis. He has two court records.
Jervis, hey, it's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. We used to talk to you back in the Survivor days, and we want to talk to you about Rudy as we're remembering Rudy from Survivor. And, of course, you were a big part of that show, so thanks so much. Please call us back. He's going to say, what's Survivor doing over me? My message.
Oh, here's Jervis.
That's not the song.
I found Jervis on Twitter.
Jervis on Twitter?
Yep, here's what he's doing today. Totally unclear radio host.
What? What?
Then Maroney Custom Clothing, Custom Clothier. Party Nerds podcast host. Boston Man Magazine columnist and reality star
really?
Survivor, 1 in 27.
Wow.
Yeah, well, good for you. And he went trick-or-treating.
How come every Survivor has 150 numbers?
He's got an IMDb.
They wanted to be contact. Oh.
He's on Instagram, 3,000 followers. We have 6,000. We never had a TV show. How many do we have now?
Instagram? You have reached the voicemail box of
Jervis.
Six.
Come on, yeah. Jervis.
6,100 or something.
I thought she said we had 6,700 when she came in here to take pictures.
Well,
she went 6,070.
Yeah.
I thought the count was just cleaning up.
All right, final number.
Man, I guess I could just.
Even though Jen exaggerated our Instagram account, we still would like you to sign up for it. For a Mike show. Still the 6-0 balloons down here. It's been quite a detour. Not finding these people.
Sorry for wasting everyone's time.
What is totally unclear? Is that going to be like a once a year show?
Well, what do you mean? His podcast?
No, it says totally unclear radio show.
Oh yeah, I don't know what that is. But he had clips of his podcast on there.
And the podcast is about.
Did you hang up?
Yeah.
Oh. The clip he had, they were trying the new Impossible Burger.
Okay.
Sure.
Have you had one?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah, it's fine.
Speaking of podcasts, since I feel things are flagging a bit, I'm going to go to true
please
crime.
Please do. I take full responsibility. Rest in peace, Rudy.
Exactly. That's the main thing. We miss Rudy. And he did evolve on homosexuality.
I don't feel like he's been properly eulogized.
I know. It sounded like he had a real tough battle, too, with dementia. And,
that's awful. Yeah.
I know. God, it's sad.
Alzheimer's is the worst.
I got to tell you, this David Temple story, he is the guy who played football at Stephen Austin. He was this badass middle linebacker. And his wife, okay, he didn't make it. And his wife was 8 months pregnant with their second child.
Okay.
And their son, Evan, who's four, I think, he was in daycare. And the wife, Belinda, gets a call. Evan's got a temperature. You have to pick him up.
Uh-huh.
She calls David because David's a football coach. He's a little less busy. She's 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
So, can't get a hold of David. And so Belinda picks up Evan, scurries home, and she finally gets David on the phone. He comes home to watch Evan until she comes home. She comes home at 3:30, and David, this is a little weird, without a car seat, by the way, takes Evan, who's sick, to the park and on some errands to Home Depot and to the Sports Authority or something. And he comes home, and he sees that someone's broken in the house. Oh, my God. The little pane of glass is punched. Well, actually, it was punched out. It appeared the door was open when it was punched out, but that's beside the point right now. Mm. And so he's got this attack dog, Shaka, and the attack dog, oh, damn it, it was in the garage while whatever was going on. It's crazy. Okay. I mean, everybody's afraid of the attack dog. And he goes inside and finds out that, oh, the drawers are open. A robber came in and shot my 8 months pregnant wife. Oh, my God.
How many times do we have to say that if someone's robbing a place, they don't make a mess?
Well, they open up a lot of drawers.
No, they don't.
That's all they do.
They turn over tables and they
don't take anything. The TV was off its stand.
Oh, okay. They try not to disturb shit if they're, well, but then I guess once you're surprised at someone's home, you immediately just shoot them.
They didn't take his tray with his watch, his Stephen F. Austin football watch, and he had jewelry. This guy was really.
They knew it meant too much to him.
Yeah, they did. They did.
We can't take that. That's a priceless heirloom.
Look up David Temple, by the way, and then I'll tell you the most stunning thing about David Temple.
Okay.
I'm looking at multiple pictures.
Yeah, just a picture of him.
So yeah, I see a picture of him holding a kid.
So he, you know, of course, as soon as I'm hearing the story, I'm going, oh, he killed his 8 months pregnant wife. Clearly. Oh, my God.
Clearly.
And, okay, what I'm going to tell you about him as you're looking at his picture is that he was incredibly vain.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Incredibly vain. I'm
shocked.
He thought he was really hot. He showered like 3 times a day. He wore only designer clothes.
Oh,
okay, after they got married, he never went to his in-laws' house. Never visited them. She always went by herself or with them because he thought they were small time and they were poor and they wore shitty clothes. And
so?
He's an ass. Oh, he's just a flaming asshole. She, on the other hand, goes to be with his family every Sunday for church and for the big Sunday meal. And this poor, I swear.
Why murder?
Because he didn't want a kid. He didn't want
a kid.
Her. And
didn't he already have a kid with her?
He didn't want another
kid. He had a kid. Didn't want another kid. Didn't want to have to pay child support. Wanted to be out of the marriage.
It's called a divorce then.
He was really into it with this girl named Heather Scott.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. This new teacher in English. He was banging. And who we got got her a gold chain for Christmas. He didn't get Belinda a Christmas present.
Oh, jerk.
8 months pregnant. Didn't get her a Christmas present. And he told her on New Year's Eve that he was going hunting. And he went over to Heather's for a few days while she was about to give birth, like any minute.
Wow.
I felt so sorry for this girl. I just,
It
was just so sad because she went through this. She was so depressed, but she was, of course, excited about the baby. And it was just this horrible, horrible fucking story. And today I listened to a podcast. It was funny. The podcast reminded me of the Sweaty Balls show that Alex Baldwin was on.
Why were they?
Yeah, the hosts are like that. They're kind of like that.
I find that a lot of podcasts talk like this. Almost like they're what, that ASMR?
There are quite a few of them, I think.
We all know Alec Baldwin talks like this. Everyone talks.
It's a husband and wife, too, which is funny. So they kind of remind me of the Will Ferrell band, you know, where he's playing keyboards and his wife sings. I think they could be either situation.
Yeah.
But, oh, they got into it, and this kid was just—he was a big shot high school football player, and you know, he broke into cars and stole shit to finance a steroid habit.
Oh, okay, great.
Got busted, and his parents said, oh, no, he didn't do anything wrong. And he said, yeah, well, he didn't, but we're going to let him off. We're going to just give him a $100 fine, and I think he got a misdemeanor. Then he beat the shit out of a few people. He got in fights in bars a lot, and they never punished him for anything. And his parents always said, well, we talked to David, and he didn't do anything.
Is he an only child, or was he?
No, he had really? Four siblings.
What?
Yeah.
Were they all women?
No, there were two guys, I think.
Really?
But
were
he was
losers, too?
No, I don't think they were.
Really?
He was the special child.
Why?
Because he could play football, because he could tackle people really well.
Okay, right.
So, yeah, he's going to play pro football, and, you know, and then he finishes, and he's only 5'10". So it's like, sorry, University of Texas, not interested. Oklahoma, no thanks. Texas A&M, And so he goes to Stephen F. Austin, and he sets records for tackles and all that, but still no draft, no interest. So he just becomes a professional asshole.
Well, that's in now.
You know, football coach for the local school.
Yeah. And
plenty of professional assholes out there.
Oh, what a dick. Yeah, and this girl, this Heather Scott, she stays with him through the whole thing. He doesn't get arrested.
Wait, the new chick?
Yeah. She's kind of hot. She was. She's pretty.
What's wrong with Whoa, had, wait, she, go down.
She had very low self-esteem.
He's wearing a football. Is that him wearing a football jersey?
That's his son. That's the Evan. That's the 3-year-old at the time.
Yeah, she raised Evan while he was in prison.
Well, I mean, it's not Evan's fault. That
no, it's not Evan's fault.
It's actually kind of admirable.
I give her a lot of credit for that. Yeah. She was, you know, she acknowledged that, yeah, I screwed up. I had extremely low self-esteem, and attention from any man was important to me. And
oh, man. Yeah, it's not her fault either. Did she know he was married?
Yes. She knew he had a son.
The death itself is horrific.
Oh, I know.
How did he do it?
Well, upstairs they found her.
Well, you said he shot her. They shot her, right?
I believe it was a shotgun. To the back of the head in close range. So it,
pussy,
it took everything away. Her face was gone. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fun story.
Well, I don't think Drew got to the part.
What am I missing?
Isn't he out now?
He is?
I thought he got out in 2016.
Well, that's clearly premeditated murder. Is he out, Drew?
Okay, here's the story. Head on upstairs.
Welcome back.
Well, Brandon already spoiler alerted it.
He wasn't charged until, I think it was 2005.
When did it happen?
It happened in 99, I think. And
why is it taking so long?
Because the next door neighbor kid did it because his wife was a teacher and she told him that he was skipping school. So he went over and shot her with a shotgun because he had access to a shotgun.
What?
I know, it's ridiculous.
Did he have an alibi?
Yes, he did. Not a full alibi, but a pretty good one. He was out smoking pot with his buddy in the car.
I'm going to get him in trouble.
He went home and crashed.
That was, but dude, couldn't you stay by yourself?
There's so many reasons. I can't believe this guy has supporters. It's like, what?
That guy, the coach?
The stupid murderer. I know. People go, no, he didn't do it. The kid next door did it.
He must have been a great coach.
Well, he's handsome, too. Just ask him.
Oh, he thinks he's so hot. So, anyway, it takes 6 years to charge him. He's charged, found guilty, beyond a shadow of a doubt, life in prison. Fuck you.
Good.
See ya.
Beat it.
Then in 2016, okay, his attorney was Dick DeGaron, who got off.
Yeah.
He got the guy off who murdered and dismembered that guy.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
Yeah, he did the big HBO series. Yeah,
the Jinx. Durst, Robert Durst.
Right.
He got him off.
Yeah.
He's really good.
I mean,
he's one of the best lawyers.
Oh, it's incredible.
I believe he got Robert Durst off that murder.
No, he's one of the best. And, of course, his family, only the best for David.
I hope he charged that family a shitload of money.
I know. They also, they got him bond when he was charged.
Wow.
He was out during the trial and with Heather, who supported him.
And his children.
Yeah, and
by the way, double murder, right? Because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So then, after 9 years in prison, Dick DeGaron gets information that they didn't turn over some documents about the kid next door. So they overturn the verdict. I know. It's so stupid.
Stuart didn't do it.
I was listening to Nancy Grace talk.
Great lawyer.
About this. Sometimes I just love Nancy Grace because she's a really tough chick and she's good at her work and she, I don't know.
She can be a little hysterical.
Yeah, she can.
She's
favorite.
Fighting with that guy on Good Morning America. What's his name? The real skinny dude?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
no.
Whenever they fight,
she always outshouts him at least.
He's just trying to state a fact.
No, he tends to be very defense-favored, yeah. I think, and she's very, fuck you, he did it.
Yeah.
Which I tend to feel that way, too. Not always, but
I know, but a lot of times you know someone did it, and it's about proving it. Like on the 48 hours thing. I was surprised.
Oh, no, it's a hard case.
I was surprised that the jury was you know, deliberated, what, an hour before they found this guy guilty when there's...
3.5 hours.
There's no... Oh, 3.5 hours. Still, it's pretty fast.
Yeah, very fast.
No DNA. What it was this...
They knew he did it.
This girl went missing.
Not for me.
Well, once she knew she was the last seen in his apartment, she goes in and never comes out. You know he did it.
Well, let's start at the beginning of that one. But first, I just want to point out that after this thing is overturned, they have to try him again at all this expense, and they find him guilty again.
Good. That was a waste of time.
But the jury is hung on how to punish him. The jury, the
it's Texas, right?
Yeah.
Kill him.
The jury said,
well, what?
The foreman said that there's a part of the jury that wants him gone for life. There's a part that want to give him like 30, 40 years. And there's some who want him to do time served.
Time served?
I know. Like,
get
what?
Out of here. Get out. I wonder how much this has to do with him having the kid that was three at the time and growing up.
Yeah, who testified for him and who's a sucker and thinks he didn't do it. And,
yeah, oh, God. Which of course you can.
By the way, Hot Heather divorced him in the middle of the trial.
And testified against him.
Yep.
Oh, she was looking really hot.
And she was not entitled to testify to things while they were married, even if she agrees to say them. There's a marriage protection in Texas. Yeah.
Wait, but they weren't married when the crime happened.
No, they weren't.
That doesn't protect her.
She was married to him the whole time after, and she knew some shit.
Oh.
I don't know what she knew, but she couldn't testify to any of that, I guess, because they were married.
So what was the outcome? What did he end up getting? Because I thought...
The jury was hung on punishment, so they're impaneling a new jury to punish him.
Oh, my God. So is he still out?
Exhausting. Well, not if he's guilty.
No, I don't think he's out.
Oh, okay.
But he thinks he might get out. Which bothers me that he even thinks that.
No, I hope he thinks that, because he's not getting out.
I just want someone to go over there and go, oh, by the way, we got word from the new jury that you're going away for a long time. Just so you know. I wish I could be the guy that did
and
that.
By the way, Heather's banging a ton of dudes. All of them are
too.
Black.
Unnecessary.
Well, I think he did. Just looking at
it. No, he wouldn't like that. He wouldn't like that. He
didn't like the wife's family. So
he didn't like the wife's family. She wasn't allowed to talk to any guys. She went out, I think, his high school girlfriend. He shoved her around because she wanted to go out with her girlfriends a couple times.
Yeah,
and went ape shit. And then he beat the shit out of somebody because they swore in front of Belinda.
Oh, shut up.
I know.
As if he doesn't swear in front of other people.
No. Meanwhile, Belinda, who, by the way, when she's 8 months pregnant, her sister's over there helping her, and he keeps talking about what a fat ass she has, and what a pig she is. I mean, what a fucking prick. He's such an asshole. She said at one point he didn't speak to her during 7 weeks of her pregnancy.
What?
I know.
How does that work?
I don't know. I'm like,
oh, man. I wish I could be that self-absorbed sometimes.
There's something admirable about it.
He was something special.
The NXIVM guy, I'm so blown away by the NXIVM guy. It's like, how does he pull these chicks? Would you please let your secret out?
I wish I was void of empathy towards anything.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yes. It's kind of like the ignorance is bliss thing. If you don't know, you don't know.
So I don't know what this new jury will do, but they better fucking put him away.
Yeah, they will.
And I left out...
Until they see how handsome he is.
Yeah. Well,
he's not hot.
A lot of his looks went away.
Oh, it did? What's he look like
now?
Oh,
you thought he was hot, so...
Okay, that's
apparently,
the one I
Brandon
keep seeing.
Brandon did think he was hot.
That's the one I keep seeing.
Yeah, you keep seeing that one. That's funny. But now he just kind of looks like a little...
Now he just... Yeah, he looks so stupid.
Oh, I bet you he still thinks he's hot, though.
I think he does, too. Yeah. He thinks he looks distinguished hot. He thinks he should have a trophy.
I also bet you he thinks he can kick everyone's ass.
He does have that look. Yeah.
He does. He does.
I'll fuck you up, man.
I'll kick your ass.
I was in prison for a long time. I was middle linebacker at Stephen Austin. I got my Stephen Austin clash ring.
Please tell me his record doesn't stand anymore. Like someone else broke it.
Hopefully.
Can they give it the Reggie White, Brett Favre sack treatment? Just let someone get tackles?
Yes.
Just so this turd doesn't hold the record?
So, this 48 Hours guy.
It's a really good story on 48 Hours.
I thought it was one of the best ones I've seen in a while, honestly. And that prosecutor loves her blue glasses.
Yeah,
she loves her glasses.
She loves her white hair, too. She was freaking me out.
I thought she looked pretty good.
The DA's weird. I don't know.
She's a little weird, but she's on the right side.
You know what I kept thinking about watching this story, too, is that this is the same state where the whole making a murderer thing happens.
Oh.
And I bring that up because there was no DNA, and yet they still found this person really guilty.
Wisconsin?
Pretty quick. Yeah, it was in Wisconsin. It was in Milwaukee. And the girl, you know, everyone loved this girl.
And these sensible Midwestern people who can see through all the bullshit.
Yeah. She goes missing with this guy that she had been hanging out with for a year. Of course, they blame the fact that she's on all these dating sites. Just totally start slut-shaming.
I love how they always do that, though. Yeah. It's just like, she was going to get in trouble, so she left her kids. Women leave their kids all the time. Women who love their kids dearly and take care of them more than anyone else, more than their sack of shit husbands, who murdered them, by the way. But let's just say they ran away to start a new life. They just left their kids behind. They always try to say that. It's like, are you kidding?
Her name is Kelly Dwyer. And what reminded me of the Stephen Avery case is, once again, this was the last person she was seen with.
Yes.
You know, and that sounds like juries there. That holds a lot of weight. Who else would do it?
It holds a ton of weight because she was never seen again. She was in his apartment, and there was a second girl in the apartment, too, who said she left because she said, I just felt this bad karma, bad juju. And I kept trying to think, what is she talking about? Was she thinking like he wanted a three-way maybe?
Oh, he seemed very sexually depraved.
Oh, to say the least. He liked choking women till they almost died.
And they think, because that was my whole thing. He's like, what is this guy's motive? They didn't really seem to care for this chick. They're not married. They're not really dating. They're friends with benefits. Like, what is the motive here?
It sounds like he accidentally killed her. Actually, though, it sounded like she thought he was possibly the one.
Is that still a motive for him to kill her?
No.
No kid together? It sounded like he accidentally killed
her. He wasn't charged with murder, though. He was charged with strangulation, abuse of a corpse, and something else. And the fascinating thing about the story is how it comes along is like, okay, so here's this guy. She's last in his apartment. They've got surveillance cameras of where they went in, and there she goes in, and oh, she never comes out. Yep. What do you know? Okay, so obviously something happened in his place, and you take the cadaver dog up, and he says, yep, body decomposed here, all over the place. Then they get a hold
If this was a famous case, though, they would have torn that up because the defense is kind of right. There's like, there's no video of this dog saying doing this.
Well, yeah, if you want to create a conspiracy theory that they made up there was a dog. But
I think he's guilty. Don't get me wrong. I think this guy murdered
him. Well, and I think the cadaver dog said all those things. And the cadaver dog also thought there was a smell in his car on that side of the car where they thought you could see his travel golf bag, which his...
In the cameras,
This was the weird thing that comes up during the story is, well, first of all, when they get the search warrant, they go and they find cocaine, they find pot, they find... And so they lay drug charges on him.
Which was his mistake because when they were first interviewing
him... Oh, is he cocky, too?
So cocky. Well, yeah, she came back, did a few lines of coke, and he fell asleep on the couch, and she left in the morning. There's no way he knew there were cameras there, but because the detectives were like, oh, yes, they coked together. Okay, let's go get a warrant to search this.
Yeah, they just want to shut him down.
And they did.
And they also start going into his computers, and he's got discs, and he's got child porn.
That's one of the parts I wanted to play back is, you know, when all else fails, who's going to defend you but mom?
Oh, I know.
They talk to his mom.
Boy, mom's great. You can always count on mom, even when you're going to prison. So mom will still believe
you. I guess mom knows best.
And you know, how embarrassing that mom has to answer to the fact that you had a ton of child porn on all this computer storage equipment. Where did the box? Let me fast forward here. Where is that? But seriously, is yourself out. This guy has major eyebrows.
He does.
Here you go.
And the girl's really cute, too.
Police search Zocco's home electronics for more clues.
They examined an external hard drive and some discs that were found in his spare bedroom.
What's on that hard drive?
That hard drive has a number of hardcore child pornography videos.
Oh, great guy.
Very hardcore. Extremely, extremely disturbing.
Zocco disavowed any knowledge of the child pornography police found.
Mom's gonna defend him.
If you're an IT guy, you collect stuff. So you collect old hard drives, you collect discs, you collect...
Oh, thanks, Mom.
You know, you just collect...
Yeah, child porn.
IT equipment. And that
you never looked to see what's on it.
Was from
his work
former,
in the tech business?
Place of work in Boston. He didn't know
pause
it was
for
there.
A second.
Then why did he take it with him? If he got it in Boston, why did he take it on his move back home without knowing what was on it?
Well, you know,
the other thing about tech equipment and storage just becomes obsolete pretty quick because there's something faster.
I try to have some sympathy when people.
Mama's a disaster.
Side, but she's talking and going, well, by her theory, there could be child porn in my house.
Yeah, I know, because you just collect
loose discs all over.
There are a few hard drives laying around here.
Yeah, do you know what's on them?
I don't know.
Oh, man, boy.
Brandon, if you want to set them up.
Yeah,
but that guy works in tech.
It's such a lame reason as to why he had child porn on storage drives.
He gets, was it 11 years for the child porn? He got 19 years for the drugs and the child porn? Was that it?
Yes, combined,
19, yeah. Which was, wow. So he's off the street. So meanwhile, you know, they have surveillance of her going in, not coming out. What I couldn't get over was the girlfriend. He had a full-time 3-year girlfriend that was totally his girlfriend, and she didn't know about the other girl, and the other girl didn't know about her. All the other girl was dating a lot of people, and he had driven to her house the night after. He was really late for dinner, and he was really anxious, and then he was sweating so much that she changed the sheets.
Oh, gross. Just throw them away, honey.
Which was like, oh, God, he was still that upset. And then they pointed out that, oh, he still has the body in his trunk that's parked outside. Yeah. So he's fucking losing it because he's got to act as normal as he can, not doing
he's
a better job.
He's got a dead body in the trunk.
I'm sweating through my clothes. It's his damn climate.
The next day, what'd you do the next day? Oh, I drove to Madison to get some cheese.
Which, come on, driving to Madison—that's right up there with who's the guy? Ed McMahon saying he had to go catch a train to Vegas. What a lame excuse!
I know. Get the fuck out of here.
But he got busted with that because he also bought like some gear at another place.
Tennis shoes, new shoes. Because what happened was, he got the cheese in Madison. Oh, cheese! Here's your receipt. Yeah, what do you know?
Cheese,
and he. And his 3-hour drive home, he stops and shops for new shoes. And he gets the new shoes, and they realize that, based on the timestamps from the cheese and the new shoes, there's 90 minutes missing.
Goddamn shoes.
Wonder where he was for that period.
Never
get
use
rid
your
of
credit.
The body.
Never use your credit card, man.
Yep.
What a moron.
He needed the receipt. He thought he was being smart.
There were so many serious issue shallow thoughts in this 48 hours. And one is the second most hated person in this was the yoga instructor where the victim used to go.
That's
it. Biceps behind the ears, lower your chin. She always greeted me with a hug.
Kelly's journey of self-discovery had led to yoga class.
Look at him showing off
his
yoga.
Instructor, Ryan Hader.
Get over yourself.
She was Hader's always excited to see me and excited to get her butt kicked in my class.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your upper back strong. And her energy was just infectious.
Kelly worked part-time as a nanny.
That's all. That's it. That's him. That's the old yoga guy.
Dick.
They could have cut him
off.
Why
did they show him in those poses? They know he's getting hard watching this.
Because he just that's just what he did.
That's why I wouldn't show it. Because I know he's going to be excited about it.
She always gave him a hug. She loved getting her butt kicked. Oh, wait. There he is again saying something. Let me back it up. I want to see what he says. It's going to be very trite.
Where her tight-knit coworkers were the first to sound the alarm when she missed a shift.
They worked together, and they played together. It's like she found her tribe.
When was the last time that you
tribe?
Saw
Kelly? She worked together, and they played. No one's ever said worked together and played together. No one's ever said they found their tribe either.
Where her tight-knit coworkers were the first to sound the alarm when she missed a shift.
They worked together, and they played together. It's like she found her tribe.
When was the last time that,
that
you
a yoga
saw
tenant?
Kelly Dwyer?
It was just before her birthday. She was like, something big is going to happen. I can feel it. This feels really important to me.
Ooh.
Oh, that's important
Kelly
testimony.
Just
everybody.
That's great evidence.
Everyone confines in their yoga teacher.
Oh, my God.
Nice man bun, too. I found out, by the way, we have a mutual friend who has a man bun now.
Who?
Jake Chapman.
Jake has a man bun?
I was texting with him the other day, and I was just real quick. I was like, how's Orlando?
He's a haircut.
It's great. I have a man bun now.
It's like, what?
Yeah, that seems about right. Yeah. No, he's loving it down there. He's back with the Orlando Magic. Yeah.
Boy, you think of how much things have changed since 105.1. Dave Kim has a 33-inch waist, and Jake Chapman has a man bun. How about that? If we can only get them together.
I love Jake. Oh, he's great.
Glad he got that job back.
Yeah, no, he's loving it. He did not like the place where he worked, the radio station in Cleveland where he worked. He was not a fan.
No. He liked it as little as he liked 105.1.
He liked 105.1 less. Although when he was here, though, he loved working for the Pistons.
Yeah, it was a good gig.
Yeah, it was a great gig. He loved it. So
anyway, they know the whole story because the body's found just off that road that the 90 Minutes was missing from without the golf travel bag, which the current girlfriend said after the cops were there, like, oh, there's a shower curtain missing. This is missing. And she goes, oh, there's a lot of stuff missing. She goes, there's matching towels missing. I mean, leave it to a woman who just notices. Women are so, they just notice so many things. And she goes, and that damn travel golf bag, you had to step over it to get to the other room because it was always sitting there. Where's the travel golf bag?
This is a mistake. You can't take anything she ever bitched about.
But him sweating up the sheets.
You know, it's funny. He doesn't look like the murdering type. He also doesn't look like the strangulation sex type.
Doesn't look like the child porn type. I mean,
if there's a type out of those three, it's probably child porn. Don't you think? Because he has soft features.
Yeah, he's going to get parole about when Aunt Becky should get it, when he's 90. he can ask for parole. When they said that, it was like, I'm just picturing this guy going, oh, I can get out when I'm 90. I probably have 5 or 6 cool years on the outside.
Oh, God. I don't know.
What does a 90-year-old do that gets paroled? What the fuck do you do?
I have no idea.
You kill yourself like Brooks.
Like Brooks?
Yeah, I thought of Brooks.
What do you do?
From Shawshank.
It truly was.
Truly was a Shawshank redemption.
Yeah. It was a great 48 hours. Wow, it is just a great, great show. How far in are we, Brandon?
Oh, 202.
Another series is a shallow thought on that 48 hours. They tell a little story. She frequented this bar, and her friend was the bartender there. And how the night she went missing, they went and got a carry-out pizza and brought it to the bar.
Yeah.
And all I can think of is, bar doesn't have food? Isn't that a little weird to get pizza from somewhere? I mean, I know some breweries will do that if they don't have food, but I don't know why those things popped in my head. I was just speeding by that.
That was there was much to think about in that. I wanted to mention, too, because the Hall Financial Hotline will feature Bruce Wolf tomorrow from Chicago, the old Chit Chit Chat, Loop FM guy, WGN guy, Fox
my
News.
God.
And done.
Sorry.
Fox Local TV anchor. Bruce did everything. As Dick Marks said, he lost a lot of jobs.
Dick Marks.
but I asked Bruce something else when we were texting today, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm up on that. And it's, do you remember Rafer Weigel?
He was all over the
Jesse Smollett.
Juicy Smollett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rafer Weigel's father, Tim Weigel, was the sports anchor at Channel 7 in Chicago for decades, and he was good. He was funny. He was, you know, I liked him. Everybody liked Tim Weigel. Well, Rafer's his son, and Rafer's a real serious journalist, and he, after the Smollett case, he was named anchor. Hey. At, I think it's Channel 32, well Fox. Done. Yeah, I mean, that's a big move up. And I think Rafer's 50, so he's been around a while. And Rafer's been suspended.
What?
Yes.
For what?
It seems that he was engaged to this chick who is too hot for him.
Oh,
she's
really?
She's so hot. Yeah, and she loves herself. And she has a lot of pictures on, you know, showing how incredibly hot she is. Anyway, while he's engaged to her, there's a really good serious issue, Shallow Thought, in this story. A really good one. Rafer starts, it sounds to me like he likes hustling women online.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl in Indiana, he's talking to her, and I guess they're sending photos back and forth.
Nice.
Well, what happened was, I think it's his soon-to-be wife found one of the pictures.
Oops.
Yep. And she sent one to the girl saying, oh, I found this. And she's trying to charge him with revenge porn for sharing her pictures.
Oh, my God, I'm confused.
The girl in Indiana? Yeah, because the wife got her picture.
She should be charged with it.
Well, it's off his phone, though. She got it off his phone.
But he didn't give it to
her. Well, we don't know. We don't know any of these things. I mean,
ooh, that's wow, what an intriguing case.
Yeah, it is intriguing. And there's another chick, too. It sounds like Weigel was juggling. Like,
why is he getting married then? Or why is he engaged to this lady?
I don't know. You know, he's a hot TV news anchor.
Good job, Smollett.
I know.
It's all because Jesse Smollett.
This may have been
that ridiculous lie.
I wonder if this is before Smollett. But anyway, Rafer was, I think, deposed and took the fifth on a few questions. So I know, and I don't think the fiance is the fiance anymore because there's three girls and they're within like 100 miles of him, and there's something going on with all of them. And he did bang the girl in Indiana, and that's where the serious issue shallow thought comes in, because I couldn't believe this. She said finally she agreed to meet him at a hotel, and they had sex, and then he went home, but she had sent him gas money to get to the hotel. What? I'm like, well, gas money? He's an anchor, Channel 32. Yeah. It was like, this should be the headline of the story.
And he needs
girl
gas
sends
money.
Weigel gas money to get to hotel in Indiana. What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Now,
isn't that bizarre?
Now, since she's a victim of revenge porn, does she have to quit her job? Since that's what I learned last week with Katie Hill. If you're a victim of revenge porn, you have to quit your job.
No, I don't think she does.
She is totally redefining this whole argument, isn't she, Katie Hill?
Well, to some people. That's what was bugging me from the beginning, was I felt like, wait, everybody's treating this like it's not an abuse of power. There's not a power imbalance.
But to act like she had to quit her job is just phony.
No, it's completely fake.
She didn't have to quit her job.
And she's going to work to change the laws in revenge porn. Well, if you'd been a representative, you could have done that a lot better.
It'd be a lot easier.
No,
yeah.
She knows there's a lot of shit that's going to come out.
Yeah, so that's why she stepped down.
She also had, it sounded like she had quite a drinking problem, which for some reason no one talked about.
But she, you know, let out that, she had that video, and then she was on the floor on Thursday talking about it. It was just kind of...
No, she was a victim.
She's redefining it now.
She is a victim. And I don't understand why she's being allowed to
redefine.
Well,
she may be, but that wasn't why she quit, though. And admit why you really quit. It's because you paid a staffer.
No, I don't think she is a victim.
You were banging.
She's a failed congresswoman in many, many ways. She had a relationship she should not have had with a 22-year-old. There was a power imbalance. And I'm not really hung up on this power imbalance. People are going to screw. People, you know, when you have two people screwing, one of them has more power than the other. Mm-hmm. Almost no matter what. And sometimes girls are impressed by guys that have power. You know, he's the president of this.
Oh, that drop.
And I'm this cute waitress, and he wants to bang me, and I'm going for it. Well, yeah, there's a power imbalance there, too. And it's granted, it's worse because she works for Katie Hill. But, I mean, you know, in the workplace, this stuff happens. It just does. And sometimes that little weakling who has no power is the one that makes it happen because they have hotness power.
And who would want to put their penis in a coworker?
And they come on. They come on to the person with the power, and the person with the power happens to like them.
The Bezos drop reminded me. Did you see he's connected to Ghislaine Maxwell?
Oh, boy.
Oh, is he?
She attended some event he threw a couple years ago. When she was there. It's like everybody that has money and power is tied to Epstein one way or the other.
Yeah, and Epstein was murdered. Fox News pointed out.
And the internet.
Well, Fox News did a piece on Conan, the heroic.
The guest pointed it out.
Heroic dog. In fact, he actually, one of the handlers actually said how you can go ahead and adopt one of these dogs. And here's a little spin from Fox News.
And, I'm sure he's ready to go out on the next mission, and he can't wait. So thank you and thank Nero for your service. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. If I could I throw a PSA out real quick?
Real quick.
Just the remarkable nature of these dogs and them being highlighted in the news creates a huge demand by people that frankly shouldn't have them. If you see the coverage and you decide I want one of these
like
dogs, either buy a finished trained, fully trained and finished dog from a professional, or just don't get one at all. And Epstein didn't kill himself.
All right. Okay. Thank you for that commentary.
Is this the new R.I.P. Harambe?
Kinda.
Is that what this is?
But you know what? I like these memes because they are keeping the story alive in a
way. Yeah, when no one else is.
You don't see them too much. You don't see them every night on news anymore, but I see them every day on the internet, which is good because I want this to come.
Believe the internet memes. Believe the internet.
Well, no one's reporting on the story. When he died, remember?
There's nothing to report on anymore.
We're going to be all over this thing. Nothing.
So wait, Bill Barr killed him? Who killed him?
Bill Barr was the attorney general and he said...
Pedophile ring. It's over. Who cares now? Who cares?
Yeah, they're investigating all these people and lots of indictments to come and
It's actually, if anything, the whole Epstein was murdered takes away from the real investigation and the real victims of the women that he trafficked.
People who are investigating Ghislaine Maxwell or Jean-Luc, whatever his fucking name is, I don't think they go, oh, there's a meme out there, so I'm going to stop what I'm doing. That's their job.
Of course not.
And they said they were going to do it, and they're not doing it. And they're also not telling us what happened in Florida. I want to know what happened in Florida. Something happened. Somebody weighed in. Somebody put their big foot on that thing in Florida, and we know that.
Yeah, that's the real one.
I don't know. Some of the listeners might agree with me on this one. Came through on the boner line. I don't know.
That doesn't mean it's right.
I know. Brand's way too excited about the boner line. It's all
that's what happens
him.
When you get to pick and choose.
I don't know. All right. So I do have to apologize to some people who don't get on the boner line. I'm sorry.
What?
What? Why?
There's an editing process?
It has to be because there's just some days where I walk in and there's 65 calls. I can't possibly put all 65.
But then I hear that there's not enough calls to make
a
boner
line. That's why you hit Control F and type Brandon in.
That happened once. That happened one time where I asked people to call in and we had 80 calls the next day. So we're consistently getting
seems like some of the people could maybe get on later instead of you having to get more Epstein calls about you.
209-66 boner. I just thought one of the callers had a pretty good argument.
I'm excited for the boner line. I'm always ready.
Here we go.
Hey guys, long time listener. Love what you're doing. Love everything you're doing. I donate. I buy stuff. I love your show.
Thank you.
Everybody says they hate interviews. Eat a bag of dicks. Did anybody notice that when you were talking about the actors who have become porn stars, Brandon kept bringing up male actors?
Just a struggling actor with a thick, meaty...
Now I figured out your show. I broke it down into a pie chart. So it's 50% Beatles.
They were bigger than Jesus.
20% Will 40 drops.
You want to go?
15% reality TV.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, didn't it?
And 15% boners and farts.
You guys, stop talking about sports, all together.
A man who don't know sports, he ain't much of a man.
Just want to let you guys know I'm counting down the days till I can hear some dirty Xmas song. Can't wait. I just love Christmas. Love hearing those dirty song.
Here is my Christmas request.
So my cable bill is like $320 a month. So I called last week to get it cheapened up. And when I called to cheapen it up, they said, well, you're going to lose four stations. And among those stations was the ID channel. And I lost it. And now I am so bummed because I can't watch any more true crime. I never realized how much I would miss that. I'm actually thinking that the $70 a month may be worth it just to have ID.
That's true. I've seen that. I've watched that.
You're creepy. Voice guy reading these comments with my earbuds in at work on full volume sometimes. Like, it sends chills down my spines and tingles into my butt cheeks.
You're so hot.
I have an incorrect correction. Trudy said that Mark Ruffalo was hot, and that's incorrect.
Ugly motherfucker.
If you guys are trying to figure out how to pronounce certain words, because there are South Asians with that, apparently. Why don't you just ask the Hawk? He knows everything.
Hell yeah, brother. I deserve more rare dime.
What I'm really missing is the ML Elric show, because that drove me to Fox 2. Fox 2 did not drive me to ML. I would hear him talk about stories, and then, ergo, I would look them up.
You want to go right now, Elric?
You guys were talking about Judy Garland. Drew said, who would go to these crap shows? Really, Drew? Come on. You know the answer to that. Mazaway. Tom would go to better shows.
You brought out.
Hey, that Richard Heaney guy, he reminds me of Tanya Harding and O.J. Simpson in that he's lied so passionately and so long about what happened that they've all managed to convince themselves that they're telling the truth.
You are lying.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry to report I'm leaving the show as well. It's about the sponsors. I don't smoke pot. I don't drive a car. I don't have any skills, so I have no finances. I don't have boobs, so I don't need a breast implant. And I have raging boners, so I don't need hymns. So, sorry, guys.
Grow Green MI and the sponsors put food on the table for these guys.
Yeah.
So fuck you if you have a problem with it. And I got a piece of advice for you. Cancel yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm 100% convinced that Mark is on the payroll of the Clintons trying to cover up the Epstein murder. 100% convinced. I don't understand why this fucking guy can't get it through his head that there's a possibility that some really fucked up shit happened with this child pedophile ring leader who flew around with the Clintons and Prince Albert and all kinds of other high-profile people.
Albert?
Maybe Mark knew Epstein, and he's covering it up himself.
Watch YouTube, guys. Just watch YouTube.
Drew, there's someone that sent you the Hitman podcast has a name. Fix your stuff and say my name. It's hurting me very badly. I'm in pain all the time.
You, that's all you care about.
Thank you for playing the Touchstone Exorcism call at the end of the Halloween podcast.
I'm going to have a
BM
in your living room.
Very serious issue, very shallow thought. The dad of the dick tattoo kid has an amazing radio voice. Oh, what a voice. I'd love to have a voice like that.
You ever think about doing radio?
Thank you for your time.
See you around.
There you go.
Hitman Podcast, who is that? Damn it.
Oh, Brandon bleeped her name.
I think it was Brooke.
Brooke?
Not close enough.
I could be wrong because I bleeped it.
The separate at birth, which was dead on about Richard Heaney and just believing your lies or your thoughts.
Brooke Kelso!
Brooke Kelso. There's another.
Brooke Kelso Photography.
Ooh.
For all your photography needs, I don't know if I should. That might be her phone number. www.bkshot. Which, shouldn't that be money shot? Sorry, Brooke. www.bkshot.com. Or you can go to Facebook at facebook.com/KelsoPhoto. KELSO Photo.
I was talking to Bentley, and we were talking about Richard Heaney, and he compared him to Righteous Rick and the fact that he wants us to do all the work and research. I thought that was very astute. He's right, because he's always, look it up, do this research, do this work, read this, read that, go do this. Go do this.
Do I dare ask what is going on with Aaron Carter?
We still can't.
I don't know.
About.
Well, I can't. Yeah,
there's
I don't want
to. There's something incredibly big.
Massive.
It's something that we need and should be talking about, but we can't.
Yeah. It's.
I don't even know this.
Yes, you
I don't
do.
Even know this.
Yes, you do. You just forgot because you're not on the front lines of dealing with it.
We told you about it.
Here, I'll write down three letters.
Okay.
Hang on.
That is pretty crazy.
Thank you.
We will find out. You know, the gag order will be lifted at some
time. You remember that aspect of the story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought the letters were going to be CTE.
Oh, Rick's got CTE?
No.
Maybe.
No, wait, who's that? Who's that?
Aaron Carter?
Why would Aaron Carter have CTE?
By the way, I deep dove on
him. STD.
I couldn't resist diving on him going, what is, because I'm watching
his
this
new girlfriend?
Guy. No, I don't think I have seen
his
new girlfriend.
Pull up his Instagram.
Gross. Sorry. I
wouldn't want her either, man.
I was reading reviews of his shows, which is really kind of hysterical. And people write these long
Breaking
stories.
News with Mort Trim.
His Twitter is now protected, by the way. So he's private. He's gone private.
What?
Yeah. That what about his Instagram?
Seemed no, like I'm him to do that. Right. So why would he go private? Meaning you have to follow him?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just follow him and find it? Well, then you have to have all his tweets in your feed. Okay.
His Instagram's up there, but I don't. I think those pictures are gone, Brandon. Was it Jen that was showing us those?
Oh, you know what? He must have broke up with her. Okay. There was
what a surprise. He's so stable.
Is she a porn star?
I don't know, but it was like really dirty stuff. It was a picture of this chick on her phone. I mean, she wasn't like a 10 or anything. And he's like, get off that phone and on my dick. That was the caption of the photo.
Yeah.
And then there were a few others, and it was just really raunchy stuff.
Yeah, boy.
But yes, you're correct, Mark. He has deleted them.
Yeah, I don't see him on here at all.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Well, the reviews of shows, there's a lot of efforts to merchandise and to sell, you know, meet and greets that he seems to be very late for a lot of stuff, and the shows start really late, and I guess sometimes the shows are kind of short.
Well, and, that's not a surprise. And, how many times can you sing Candy?
I know. He didn't get this. He didn't sing Candy at shows for a long time.
What about the time I dunked on Shaq?
Yeah. He wanted people to hear his new music. So this one girl did a review, and she said, I was really excited because I loved him when I was a little kid and all that. And she went, and she, I think she sort of had a goofy, fun time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she just was very saddened by the whole thing. And she was watching him, and he's running around acting like a doofus before the show.
Oof.
You know, like this really intense thing's about to happen. Well, there's like 100 people there.
Probably running around trying to get some drugs.
Probably. That's what I thought.
That's funny. He doesn't do I Want Candy yet. His newest album has a remix version of I Want Candy on it.
You know, he's supposed to be bipolar, right?
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay. If he's taking his medication like he says, then I don't... He says all these incredible things like, I'm a multimillionaire, I've got more money than ever, I'm the biggest pop star out there, which sounds like a bipolar person who is manic.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's manic without the down.
Yeah, so he's just manic.
Yeah, he's just manic. I mean, it just sounds nuts. But reading about the shows was... I don't know, everything seems sad lately. Why is everything sad?
Well, here's some exciting concert news. I cannot believe that Rage Against the Machine is reuniting.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited about that.
Oh, my God. I'm honestly hard over it, and I think Brandon is too, so we're both hard. But I knew they were playing Coachella, but now there's three other appearances they're doing, or three other dates before Coachella. Just all of them are on the west side, you know, west side of the country. El Paso and New Mexico and Arizona.
Oh, they'll make it this way, won't they?
I don't know. I don't know if it's just Coachella or, you know, if they're doing those three to get ready for Coachella and that's it. Or if they're going to do other, you know, maybe other festivals. But I never thought that Zach would get back together with them.
Well, hoo-ah.
Yeah, no, that's pretty big.
So, I was talking to somebody about MTV, and...
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, it's still there.
I couldn't tell you the last time I watched it.
We were both kind of wondering, why couldn't they do Unplugged, and why couldn't they do Coachella Live, like Live Aid?
They could.
Why don't they? Is music just that... Is there no interest in current music like there was? Because there's 17-year-olds now who would certainly, you know, the Target would spank them right in the ass.
Well, they tried to reboot TRL, and that was a failure. Just a huge failure.
I wonder why.
Like 2 years ago
they
tried
get
doing
big
that?
People on there like they used to?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, they had stars come in. But I think the problem is MTV and music videos themselves just aren't what they used to be.
They are. They've just gone to YouTube. And with that, Coachella has just bypassed MTV, and their whole thing is on YouTube. Like, you can watch almost all of Coachella, if not all of it.
It just seems like there's room for a music channel that is about music.
I think it's just YouTube now, though. Just going direct to the consumer. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I guess. They do have the, it used to be Palladium. What is it, MTV?
Yeah.
Something else that would show concerts and whatnot. I think there's still a space for that.
But, I mean, someone who is on top of everything right now with a Kurt Loder, but not Kurt Loder, with a who's the girl?
Tabitha Sorin.
What happened to Tabitha?
He doesn't put any
stuff. Let's talk about some music.
Kurt Schroeder and Tabitha Sorin.
Where's Tabitha?
I don't know.
She was too intense.
Probably have an old 20-year-old number for her.
Wasn't she
on his call 30 numbers?
Wasn't Tabitha way too intense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so was Schroeder.
This is not about music!
The problem with MTV for me was like...
Breaking news. She's an American fine art photographer now.
Well, I hated stuff like Rock the Vote. It's cool to vote.
Wildly successful.
I know it was.
Vote or die.
Wildly a vote or die.
Let's rock the vote.
She appeared in the 1987 music video, You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party.
Tabitha Sorn. Now, no, if there's right. anyone
she must have
who
been
would
the square.
Not. Yeah. She was the one who was trying to people to stop fighting for the right to party.
I forgot she was in The Cable Guy, too. She had that cameo.
She's probably fighting for people's right not to party.
Party. Yeah.
And Kurt Loder.
She interviewed Hillary Clinton, Anita Hill, and Yasser Arafat.
Groundbreaking.
Why? Why would
she interviewed Hillary Clinton? Ooh!
She would have been like 24.
I know. Oh, whatever.
Well, now we see Justin Trudeau talking to five-year-olds on Facebook. So
yeah, and telling them that he did blackface, confessing to five-year-old black kids.
Don't even.
And upsetting them.
So weird.
That reminds me, at the Halloween party in the Eisenhower building, they had kids putting bricks to build a wall. Yeah.
Sorry, you know who Tabitha?
What?
This blows my mind. Guess who she's married to?
Who?
Do you know who Michael Lewis is?
Sounds familiar.
This is why she's not working. Michael Lewis wrote Moneyball, Blindside, The Big Short.
Oh.
All those great books. So no wonder she's not working.
Could have gotten done hotter than that.
Huh?
You could have gotten somebody hotter than that.
I don't know.
All those credits.
Maybe she does crazy things.
She's so intense.
Maybe they met early on.
That reminds me, Kurt Loder. You know, Kurt wrote for Rolling Stone.
Yes. Yeah. And he's a legit, like,
yeah,
journalist.
He was legit. And Rolling Stone just used to blister mindless MTV and, yeah, you know, horrible it was. And then he went to MTV, which I thought was really funny. I'd kind of forgotten that part.
God, that's so...
Where's Kurt Loder? Is Kurt Loder that
he's
old?
Married to Michael Lewis. They're in a throuple. No. Isn't it weird to think that they actually broke news sometimes?
Yeah, they did.
That just can't happen now. That can't happen. I remember having like news, but they broke Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Loder. Well, I believe he's doing something on Sirius XM.
Okay. But you could have some real intense music journalists like they have at Rolling Stone. Could.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's impossible. There's too many places to get music.
There's too many places, period.
But they're not. But they don't do anything with the music.
No.
I mean, how many great YouTube shows are there on music?
Zero. They just go straight to the consumer.
I mean,
there's no critical show about music.
What about all the documentaries, the music docs that are everywhere, and people love them? Well, I love them. Maybe nobody else does.
Everybody loves them. Brandon sent that story today in his prep about the porn documentaries.
Yeah, because they're making a new one about Riley Reid, who's a pretty fantastic porn star.
Well, see, if MTV had people who were connected to the music industry, as you are to the porn industry, think of all the stuff they could break. Because I didn't know that about the porn docs. So now we can find out about these porn stars and their lives, what kind of people they are.
Do we really want to know about
no,
porn stars
don't.
And how they got
no.
into the business and their greatest hit?
See, that's the thing about Riley Reid is I wouldn't want to see one about her because she's still in the midst. She's the pinnacle of porn stars right now. She's one of the top ones in the world. I'd rather see it in another 20 years when things go down the toilet.
Well, plus, how do they get interviewed with a dick in their mouth? I don't get it.
Mark.
Oh, they're used to that.
I'm sorry. How blasphemous
of
me.
That was very low brow.
The thing about this idea that I want people to get to know me, it's like, wait, the first thing you do is fuck on camera and do everything on camera. Take 9 penises at once, and then you want me to get to know you.
You don't ever watch the...
That is blasphemous!
You don't ever watch the behind-the-scenes stuff. Brandon, go on Pornhub and just type in behind-the-scenes and see if anything pops up.
I can tell you right now that there's some Riley Reid behind-the-scenes.
Oh.
Because she's known to keep banging people when the cameras are done.
Well, that's not the
or
interview,
the
though.
I didn't think she's that hot, to be
honest. Riley Reid?
Not really. I don't know.
I think she's hot.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
pretty. She doesn't have a huge rack or anything.
This is a crystal porno alert.
Ooh la la.
There's some porn coming.
Skanky, disgusting porn is coming soon, Crystal.
Hands up, Crystal. Fucking shoot.
And by the way, when we were talking about...
Oh, that little square in the upper right, there's a lot going on there.
I know.
It's too much going on.
I wouldn't want
Crystal
to see that.
That's a
thruple. It is.
When we were talking about the storm Area 51...
Yeah.
I was telling a story right after it happened about, there was this one hot chick that was doing all this crazy stuff. It ended up being Riley Reid. I don't know if she just showed up to...
What are you pointing?
Watch this. Just watch this. It's a little... obtuse, but
so Tom Mazwayan.
That's okay. Bonk.
There's no interference call, Mark.
There shouldn't be. He didn't touch him. You can face guard.
I think he did contact
face
him.
Guard. There should not be a penalty there. That's just getting lucky.
It was a little close.
Just getting lucky when the ball hit you in your butt.
He probably was a little lucky.
Oh, they're challenging it. Gruden's challenging it.
No way.
I'll tell you what, man.
He is challenging it.
He is. I think
really?
I think he touched him, man.
But they never accept these challenges. I mean, they never overturn them.
I think once this whole year, one out of like 28.
Okay.
Is this Riley Reid being interviewed?
No, I'm just looking at, like, this is behind the scenes of the Pornhub award show.
Is that her?
No.
I mean, have you ever seen a porn show where, like, I need to know more about what she thinks?
Never, because you watch him taking the ass before you know anything about him, and then it's like, I don't like this language towards
porn stars.
You know an awful lot.
All they're doing a job.
No, I believe me, I agree with that.
You've been pretty damn
it.
Critical of them in the last 5 minutes,
no,
Mark.
No, I haven't. I've never seen one where I really want to know more about them. Except for Nikita Denise.
I would love to see a documentary on Nikita Denise.
I think when the first thing you know about someone is watching them have sex, it's kind of hard to go backwards from there.
Yeah. I can see that.
There's a little judgment, perhaps.
You guys are mean.
Well, no. I have no problem with their career choice. I think it's wonderful that they can do that.
And I like that Brandon.
Doesn't mean I have to want to know more about him.
Brandon is so inclusive. He likes the male porn stars as much as the female porn stars.
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's accurate. I know a couple names. I know
somebody got a dicks.
You know, basically, I don't know why you're upset about me. You knew John Holmes back in your day.
Somebody got a dick.
You knew the Hedgehog because he was a big name. So what? I know the big names of this era.
Such as?
James Dean was big in the early aughts. And now.
Do you want to know more about
Dale
James
DeBone?
Dean?
And now.
Peter North?
Peter North was great.
He kind of was more 90s.
Especially
but.
That scene he had with Nikita Denise.
I'm going to do what I can. You know, it looks like I'm going to have to go there early in the day tomorrow and see what I can do with the consulate deal. And,
great actor.
Find out
with
how
Denise, seriously?
There, so.
Nikita?
Hopefully, the person at the embassy will be a woman, and you could probably f*** your way in. Do whatever it takes, Peter. Use your charm, and if you
he's
do get her,
Peter North,
f-
by
your
way,
way in.
Oh. Have a seat, Mr. North.
Here he is at the embassy.
just wondering... if I could, how long it would take to get a visa to get into the Czech Republic.
You need to fill out these documents, and it's going to take you 5 to 6 days to get a visa to Czech Republic.
Is she playing Nikita Denise?
6 days?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way, like, of speeding that up? I mean, I would do anything to speed it up.
Like, what do you have in your mind?
I'll stick more like what I have in my pants.
Oh!
And,
nice.
Think about all those people in line waiting to get their visa, and they got to wait for Peter North.
What was her response to that?
She said yes.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Cool. Wow.
But right now,
what do you have in mind, in your mind?
Oh, challenge denied.
And right now, it's Johnny Sins. What? Johnny Sins is the big
guy. You love Johnny Sins.
I don't love him. I'm just saying he is the
most
popular.
You're just a fan.
I just don't
you
think
want to know more
just
about Sins.
What's so weird about me knowing about Johnny Sins when
somebody
you guys knew about John Holmes and you guys knew about... You know, the Hedgehog.
Well, you know a lot of names. You know a lot of people. You seem to follow the industry. You know what's going on.
I know like
six you're a porn journalist.
Names. I know like six of them.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with being a porn journalist. Just saying.
Thank you.
Oh, actually, I thought of a male porn star we did want to know more about, and we knew more about him, which was Seymour Butts. Remember he had his reality show on Showtime?
Yes.
That was a great show.
It was awesome.
Yeah, because that was more about him in, like, not acting in the biz, but running his own.
Oh, and his whole family.
Yeah.
No, that show was very
funny.
Take
it back, Brandon. I want as many documentaries on porn stars as you can think of.
What happened to Seymour Butts? Where is he now?
That's a great question.
Was that his name? Was he really
Anything
that lucky?
Seymour Butts. No, it was Adam something, wasn't it?
We interviewed him.
He was great. I want
Seymour
to know more about him.
Butts. He's a director now.
Yeah. Is he still? Adam. Oh, Jesus. Adam Glazier is his name.
Brandon, what is going on?
Sorry. Adam, yeah, he is 55. As of 2013, he was still winning Director of the Year award.
All right.
I assume he's still in it. He's just making them.
Remember when Dave Attell was doing his retro porn?
Yeah.
And that was hilarious. That was so funny.
Yeah. Man, reading
Dave's
about,
coming around.
Reading about Seymour Butts here on Wikipedia, And the last two entries, the last one is he's featured in Frontline, the documentary and pornography. So that's already been done. But the one before it is Glazier has discolored patches on his glands due to psoriasis and is constantly nicknamed Calico Cock?
Calico?
What?
Oh, wow.
Wait, is he doing porn?
I don't know. I
thought he was just a director.
I thought he was done.
Okay. Well, why don't we get out of here?
Anyway.
So we can watch the second half of the Lions game and talk about it tomorrow.
Watch them choke this, find a new way to lose.
Well,
I don't think they're going to lose. I think they're going to win.
I'm intrigued by this game because, and it's a close game right now, I really got the feeling that, you know, it's like, oh, they got this easy stretch of games now. They'll win these three in a row. And whenever anyone says that about the Lions, I always go, wow, that's assuming an awful lot.
They usually win one and lose two of a stretch of easy three games.
Well, Oakland at Oakland, is that an easy game?
I don't think it's easy. Is it a game they should win? A good team, a good Lions team would win this.
Is there such thing as a good Lions team?
Well, I mean, a nine and seven Lions team would win this.
Well, we don't know.
Seven
if they're,
and nine,
but
Lions
you never know if they're that until they're 9-7.
I honestly, it probably happened last time when they're. I couldn't tell you the last time they won at Oakland.
I certainly remember them losing there. I would never think of that as an easy Lions win. It was just never in my head. I don't care what year.
Isn't this the last time they ever get to play in Oakland, too? That's very sad.
Where are the Raiders going?
Las Vegas. Remember, they're moving to Vegas.
That seems so weird to me.
I think it's great. You don't think it's great?
Well, it's good for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not going to go to Las Vegas to watch the Raiders play.
Yeah, but you can go to gamble, and what if they're playing there?
That would be fun. And you know a lot of people would do that. You know, if the Eagles are going to be playing in Vegas, there's going to be a lot of Eagles fans. Hey, let's take a trip down there and gamble our balls off.
The Lions won in 2015, 2011, 2007, 2003 in Oakland.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll see you tomorrow with Trudy.
They have a lot of sluts in Las Vegas.
He breaks another tackle. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. It's not a sports podcast.
Sounds like a case of the Mondays.